Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that's great.
Gabrielle Giffords. We did a show on yesterday about who bankrupt America, and the show dealt so in detail with so many things that are involved in this story that we thought it only fair that we come and share some of the things that we talked about in that show and also talk about what happened with this shooting. One thing or several things that we found out about the shooting is that it involved, as I said earlier, Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. There's one man in custody. The gunman's name was Jared Lee Logner. There is another man being sought in connection with the shooting, a 50-year-old. It happened in Tucson, Arizona, outside, I believe, a Safeway grocery store. Six are dead. 13 are gravely injured. They say that Congressman Gifford was a target. It said that they were after, but I don't know if that can really be established at this point, but that's what the police officials are saying. And they're calling the shooter a deranged, mentally unbalanced young man who was lashing out at the government. So, and then the final thing that we found out, that a U.S. district judge by the name of John Roll was killed. And he had been the chief judge for the District of Arizona since 2006. And he was a federal judge since 1991, and he was appointed by Republican President George H.W. Bush. So those are just some of the things that we know about the shooting that occurred on yesterday. We're going to bring in my panel at this time, and we're going to let everybody tell us what they know or what they think about this particular story. First of all, we have Mr. David Wyatt. We have Kohan Yashabaya. Kundalini, of course, the co-host. Here on center stage, we have Mahir L., we have Roy Jones, and we have Mr. Fonteyes. I'm going to open up everybody's phone lines at this time. Good afternoon, everyone.
Shalom.
Good afternoon.
Assalamu alaikum.
Did I get everyone?
Roy,
yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead,
Yashabaya. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Mahir is here.
Okay. Fonteyes.
I'm here.
And Dwight
no,
is
here. I'm here.
Okay. So basically, does anybody want to elaborate about what we talked about yesterday in connection to the story? Does anybody want to bring us up to date as to the things that we talked about that were somehow so tightly connected with this story? Who wants to bring us up today?
Sister K, I'd like to say something. This is Kohen Yashabaya.
Okay.
I'd like to start out by we want to offer condolences to the victims of that shooting out there yesterday. I mean, out there in Tucson, Arizona. One thing that I got really got my attention was to my brother Roy and to brother Mahir and Kuli and the woman's on the air on yesterday's show. Many things that we talked about. This young man was talking about why he flipped off and went off and started doing what he was doing. He was concerned about the currency being changed. He was talking about a lot of things that we discussed. And that raised my eyebrow to that we was on to something. It was more to the shooting than what is being given to the general public. So I would like to say that I would say divine, everything's in divine order, because the show was so hot and on point with the things that Leroy and the things that Mihir and myself and others was talking about, even our callers, that I'm seeing it on the news. Face the Nation was talking about these things. You know, Ron talked about the debt thing. Well, they talk about now we want $300 million from reaching the debt ceiling. They talk about now raising the debt ceiling to borrow some more money. Well, Ron talked about that when he was bringing it out. So now they're saying if Republicans don't sign off on it, Medicare, Social Security is going to be in trouble. They got to borrow some more money. So I'm saying the show yesterday is all tied. And then not only is that, Carrie, come to find out there's Ms. Sarah Palin. Now, this is on our website. She had a crosshair, which was a scope site, on 20 states that supported the Obama health care deal to bring it through. This young man was upset about all that. So a lot of this says that the nation as a whole, there are people out there that are upset and they're to the breaking point of doing things, violent things to people because how they feel.
I so agree. Roy Jones, do you remember anything about yesterday's show that's connected to the story today?
Well, everything that we're talking about, you know, it is driving people because people really don't know what's going on. That's why I just hope and pray that everyone who's listening to this show and who's listening to all your shows, I hope they're understanding what we're saying because this is what's going on. Now, it's a lot of things we can't do about it. But you know what? It doesn't mean we have to like it and have to accept it. Just think about it. When it was a couple of weeks ago where the guy was inside of the it was inside the school district room, and he started shooting at the school board members.
Yes.
Remember, he drew a symbol on the wall with a circle and an A for anarchy.
Yes.
For anarchy.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
And you see, that's just that that was the way of him expressing. And he was also a mental patient. And it's so unfortunate that I'm sorry, but it's so unfortunate that this guy was a mental patient. He was also he also dropped out of school quite recently, and all of a sudden, he was still able to obtain a legal weapon in this country. And you know what? They're gonna push this story. And I'm sorry that it's a tragedy, but they're gonna push this story to try to get rid of our Second Amendment rights.
Wow, Maher L, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I want to say good afternoon to everyone once again. Yesterday's show was an outstanding show, and what made it really outstanding, what Cole just mentioned a moment ago, was the quality of callers who called in, which lets you know that the hope with regard to people seeing what is going on is excellent. It's outstanding. Let us keep in mind, though, however, let us keep in mind that according to those, the architects of this system, things being engineered and as such, which is leading and pushing people in a direction to act out, those who see the illusions for what they are will be called insane. And they have things in place that is the story in the media that you will see about what they're telling us, why these people have acted and taken actions into their own hands to do things versus the real story. In the real story, they'll never tell you that, okay? Stories, whatever the real story is, will come out in these individuals' trials. So let's keep that in mind, okay? So the media, you know, has to continue to manage the expectations of those who are really pulling the strings to let them know that they have the situations under control, while at the same time there's another undercurrent that will forever be covered up. And remember, there used to be a saying back in the day that they used to say revolution won't be televised.
Ooh.
Well, it won't be televised. Because
last poet.
Exactly, last poet. So, and, you know, those of us who remember the 70s and the 80s as such, you know, that was a time when that statement reigned supreme. Well, it's still true. The revolution won't be televised, not in the sense, because if they did that, they would lose their footing, those who are responsible and behind the bankrupting of America and other things where people are losing their liberties, the prospects of which don't look too good for the middle class being wiped out with the changing of the currency or the currency being devalued in such a way that it really isn't worth anything, they can't televise that. And here's a reason for that. The main reason would be this. They know that if this would be televised, there will be no place to hide. No one will give them sanctuary. They've already written about that already. So I came equipped with that piece of information, and it's very, very interesting when you read about how they intend to wear you down. If they, either they can wear you down quickly or it will take time to do that. So everything is also, is really interrelated.
Right.
So anyway,
what
that's
what I'm going to say.
They say something.
Let me break it in. First of all, introduce to the audience for the first time Mr. Fonteyes, who's a very, very smart guy. You just brought up the point of the currency. Fonteyes is someone who collects gold. And I brought him in today because, I think he bring a lot to the conversation because we understand that this gunman was talking about a new currency. And we talked a lot yesterday about the fact that gold and silver is being bought up in this country. So Fonteyes is someone who has studied that whole process a whole lot and himself and invest in that. So, Fonteyes, can you explain to us your knowledge of what's going on with the gold and silver in this country?
I sure will. We keep saying the bankrupting of the country. First of all, in order to get an idea about the money, we must first go back to the foundations of geography. We keep on looking at America as being a country. America are continents. It is north, south, and isthmus and adjoining islands. And so once we understand that, we'll stop aiding in the fraud, because it is a fraud. And it's a fraud that foreign perversers come here and use to steal from us, as they have stolen the money. If we want to first, any scholar who wants to understand something first goes to investigate by looking it up. If we want to know what money is, we must first understand the etymological root of it. And money is coming from the Morris Latin moneta, and it means to coin or mint. And when you see the S symbol with the two lines through it, this is a dollar symbol, and those two lines through it are columns. And they are Masonic columns standing for Joachim and Boaz. And it stands, the S stands for silver. And so we keep calling this thing, which is actually a note, a dollar. It is not a dollar. And another thing we must understand is what the term color means, color of law. When people come to colonize other people's lands, they bring in color of law because they are not the true sovereigns of the land. This is the only way they can function. And color simply means that in law, anything in law that's colored is fake. It's simply that which is given the appearance of law, but which doesn't have the legal right. That means color of money, color of title, color of people, doesn't matter. It's a statement meant to steal the birthright and hereditament of the people. So I'm going to now go into what money is, what a dollar is exactly. Mm-hmm. A dollar is a unit of weight. And so once people understand that, you can't be fleeced. A dollar is 371.25 troy grains of fine silver. It didn't say dross. It says fine silver. And I'll repeat the exacting weight again. A dollar is 371.25 troy grains of fine silver. Dollar is also defined in the Coinage Act of 1792. They'll tell you that the Coinage Act is no longer in place. That's a lie. It has always been in place. It's been in place to protect the people from such chicanery as exists today. Okay, when you know what a dollar is, you'll know what a dollar is, and you can never be robbed. Okay, we'll go down here, and I'll define to you how the money is to be laid out at a 16-to-1 ratio. If I had a double eagle, which is a $20 gold piece, and it's still the money, they just have taken the money away from the people during what they call a confiscation, but it wasn't a confiscation. They tricked the people into turning in their money, their real money, for colorable money, which is paper. Any piece of paper that you get for something is considered as a colorable document. If I came to you and you went to a restaurant and you sat down at my restaurant and you ordered up a plate of food, and I came back to you with a piece of paper and said, this piece of paper is representing the food you're going to eat here today. Would any of us accept it? Of course we wouldn't, because it would be a statement, and this is what is called colorable. And so once our people start understanding these terms, we can protect ourselves from being fleeced. A double eagle is a $20 gold piece. It is equivalent to 16 ounces of silver or 20 silver dollars. Mm-hmm. An eagle is a $10 gold piece. It is equivalent to 8 ounces of silver or 10 silver dollars. And then you have a half, which is a $5 gold piece, which is 4 ounces of silver or equivalent of 5 silver dollars. This is the real money. It will never change. And if you try to change it, as they have, it is a hanging offense. This is why they want our guns. It is a hanging offense. This is why they want the guns. They want the guns because if you take away the guns, the people can't protect themselves against people trying to rob them. This is the money. And so once we understand money, we can't be fleeced. And so when they're giving us this paper, none of us have ever never been paid for our labors. Never. We are getting a misrepresentation. All of us can get together and file class action suit against all of them. For saying they lent us money on a house, they lent us money for a car, and in all truth, since the United States Democracy Corporation in order to not to commit treason, though they already have.
Mm-hmm.
They create more colorable documents. In essence, the Aboriginal indigenous people are only supposed to go and sign for anything they want. Because, like, when you buy a house
mm-hmm.
and you sign your name, because they've already taken the money away, there's no money at which to pay for anything. They've already stolen it. So that was part of the deal. Since we keep saying who's bankrupting as though it's in process, we've already been, the United States Democracy Corporation is already bankrupt. It's been bankrupt. That's why they have to go borrow more money from the global bankers. And
well,
so,
tell us this. Why would we want to go and invest in gold right now? We know the dollar pretty much has no value, but why would we go and invest in gold right now?
Well, that's what I'm getting to. It's not necessarily gold. Gold is already the wealthy people of the world already have the gold, and so they're controlling the gold. It's the silver. Silver is the money. It is a silver standard, and it's always been a silver standard. That's what I was explaining to you. It is a silver standard, and once you understand this, you'll understand how it's divided up. Because if I take a pre-64, if I take coinage from pre-1964, coin, remember, money is only coin, not paper. If I take 4 quarters and I put them on a digital scale, it weighs the same amount as a silver dollar. If I take 10 dimes and do the same thing, it weighs the same amount. This is the money. The gold is more for large worldwide international transactions. It is the silver that they're after simply because silver is more rare than gold, because it's used in every electronic appliance, every light fixture, and it's been thrown away for the last 50-something-odd years. And because of that, it is very scarce, and its properties are immense. That's why. And so because of that, this is the real money. It is something tangible. And so it took labor. It took effort in order to mine. And usually when they're mining silver, there's something next. It usually comes from mining something else. But I'm going to give people, because the majority of the people are already in destitution, but I'm going to give you ways that you can protect yourself in this. Copper, too, is money. And so what you can do now, if you don't have a lot of money, you can go and get yourself a silver coin or two if you can. If you can't afford that, go and collect nickels. Nickels, 2011, 2010, doesn't matter. They're 75% copper, and this will help you against the inflation that is coming, because in the future you will pay ten notes for a cup of coffee, and eventually you will step over the currency that is valueless in the first place, because all fiat currency, and that's what it is, that means so-called colorable money backed by government decree. So the government gave it a number and told you this is what it stands for. Eventually they must return to their original worth, which is zero. And I'll step back and allow someone else to speak that I may not take up all of the time.
Okay. We're going to go to the phone lines for a second. Area code 817-480. Good afternoon. You're on center stage.
This is Carol.
Well, this is Carol. I just want to add to something that Maher was saying. No, gold is valuable. Gold and silver are both a metal product. Gold is for holding the bulk of your wealth. If you have a lot of money, or even if you have money in 401k or whatever, it's to hold a great deal of money in gold. Silver
mm-hmm.
is called junk silver, and people usually use that for bartering. Or they use it as an industrial metal. But silver is, and gold is undervalued right now. It's pretty much in stage two, beginning of stage two. The American people pretty much are not in gold and silver. Only 1% of the American population is. But in the other countries, they're buying it like it's going to be gone tomorrow.
Wow.
And then when the American people decide to get into it, which will be pretty much the last stage of it, it's just going to skyrocket. So gold is valuable, and it is a currency, but it holds a lot of your wealth.
Wow.
And I just wanted to kind of add that. I didn't know exactly what you all were talking about. I just kind of came in.
Okay, we're talking about the Arizona shooting, but we were also talking about that the gunman had talked about a new currency. And so yesterday's show kind of tied in because we were talking about who bankrupted America, and we talked about some of those issues on yesterday. But, Carol, if you don't mind, we'll leave your phone line open.
Oh, okay.
Okay. David, Wyatt, you were saying something.
Dawaya.
Dawaya, okay.
But that's all right. I'm a historian, and
okay.
I deal with strictly history, and when you understand, when you're a history maniac like I am, been for the last 57 years, and that's a long time, well, then you look at things at a different way. Now, if we were to go into the Constitution of the United States of America, which most people don't read, especially the black people, we don't study like we used to when I came through with all black school, you would know that it clearly tells you in the Constitution of the United States of America that the only monies in the United States is coins, and the highest value is a silver dollar. So all of them $50 bills and $100 bills and $20 bills you got in your pocket is obsolete if they call money in. It is no good. That is to represent a debt. If you look up on the left-hand side of that bill, it'll tell you that this is a legal tender for a debt. That means that's how they keep up with a debt. And so the best thing for you to do is to get you coins, period. Put your money in the coin. If you can't get gold and silver, just like Sister Carol said, most black people are not into this. We've been studying this for over 15 years. Kahane and I and Maha and Sister Carol have been with us quite some time, and she do a lot of lectures on this. She is very in-depth in this field. She's one of the people that reports, do a lot of study on that field, Carol. But if you would understand the protocol, which is a book of the learned elders of Zion, the one that's in 1912, the one that they burnt, I have that copy, been studying it for many, many years. Well, then everything lines up as to what is going to be done, because everything the young man just said was explaining to you about gold and stuff, well, that's all of that is already in protocol. And once you understand protocol, then you can see what's going on. It's a system. See, the United States, America, is an incorporation. It is not a nation of people. It is an incorporation ran up under Faberism. And that's what is ran up under right now, but Faberism hasn't come in. So you have to know what Faberism is. Faberism is the Fabian group that came in. With another good book to get to read is the Communist Manifesto. Another good book is The International Jew by Henry Ford, the car man, Henry Ford Sr. So if you get the protocol, Henry Ford, and the Communist Manifesto, these three books will help. It'd be hard for you to get the protocol that we got, but you can get other protocols, and some of the protocols, we have studied all of them. I believe in going through all of them to get the information. Got good information, but it doesn't go in depth like we got, because we got the funeral rites in this one and everything, but when you get off into this real deep, as we have, Sister Karen, you can understand. And then all this stuff will tie in right into a biblical prophecy that's in the Bible. All of this will tie into the Quran, the Talmud, the Torah, the Kabbalah. All of these books will tie in, because we're up on a system, and this system started within this system. We have seven empires that we can go to: Babylon, Assyria, Syria, Greek, Rome, and America, the seven great empires. We can see the system running through there, high sale and everything. When you're a fanatical historian like I am, then you can see all of that, and history does repeat itself. And so we are going through the repeating of history. If you notice the spirits of people, and spirits come back, or the Nephilim, they come back and visit. There was 5,000 to 10,000 years we went off into that study. The people that you see right now, have you noticed in the last 10 years you got a spirit or a group of people that when they kill up a whole bunch of people, then they kill themselves? That's something new. That's another spirit that has moved in, another piece of energy that has come in. So all of these things have been here before, mm-hmm. all the systems. It's just where you are. And I always ask the Christian, if you're a good Christian and you say you know your Bible, show me where we are in prophecy in your Bible, because it's showing up in there, everything that's going on now, even the government, even where they're fighting right now. All of this stuff is right there in your book, but can you see it?
Wow. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the all-new KLHC 98.9 The Talk, bringing you center stage with today's topic, the Arizona Congressman Gifford shooting. If you just tuned in as well and you're on the phone lines, dial or press 1 if you'd like to weigh in on today's topic, or if you're listening via the Internet, dial in at 347-850-8390, and again, press 1. A reminder, the chat room is open today, so if you have a question or comment, post it up in chat, and I believe Mr. Kundalini will get to your comment and bring it to the panel. Okay, let's talk about the shooting a little bit.
Okay, Mr. Carey.
Do you all feel that this gunman acted alone? Is this bigger than what it looks? Was it just one deranged person acting on his own, or is this something bigger? But before I go to the panel, let me go back to the phone lines. Area code 404, good afternoon, you're on center stage. Area code 404.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing today? I'm doing all right.
Good.
Okay.
You have a question or a comment about today's topic?
Yes. I just received a blog in my phone, and I was wondering what happened, what's going on, you know, so I can be able to come in to give my info on the situation, you know?
Okay, on the shooting? Okay, well, then you just hold on, and we're going to have some of these great minds on the panel explain to you what happened with the shooting. Okay, Kohan Yashabaya, you know what's going on. Bring us up to speed. What do you think about this shooting? Is it bigger than what the news is telling us?
It's way bigger than what the news is telling us. We are under siege mentally as well as economically. And as if you notice who was shot on at the meeting, you had the congressman, a federal judge, and the young girl was the granddaughter of a wealthy millionaire who used to own the Los Angeles Dodgers, the Philly, and the Chicago Cubs. That was his granddaughter that got killed in the shooting. The young man did not act alone. Now, I can't go prove if I don't remember, but I can tell from the reactions of the call when people become robots, when you become amused, used to do things. All of a sudden, this kid walks up in the crowd, firing 20 shots or more at this person, you know, and getting that close. Something's wrong with that picture.
Wow.
I agree with you. Can I speak with you, brother?
Go right ahead.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I was speaking to Carrie earlier about this, and I feel a lot of times when they're not getting when the so-called government is not getting the reaction from the people that they want, they have to create issues. And I feel that these video games have a lot to do with them, because they're well-training these children, because I speak to a lot of people who are high up in rank in military, and one of them told me that nowadays there is no special forces. Everyone is special forces. Your little child sitting there with that Xbox, he's special forces. He's
being trained. Roy, we are all ex-military, and when I seen it, I called Carrie immediately and told her. The young man quoted some of the same thing we talked about, reading him doing when the shooting took place, and then Face the Nation this morning was talking about it, and then we found out another thing that's going on out there is that not only is it not a conspiracy, this is a action. This is a movement to push us more into military. We can be controlled by the military. That's what they call, that's a word we use.
Martial law.
You see, everybody right now, everybody getting afraid, they want to handle their rights because everybody wants to be protected. The fear factor is in big play now. Now, when I read the fight on the Congress lady, she, a few weeks or months ago back, had pulled Sarah Palin out because Sarah Palin had put on her Facebook website targets on every state that voted with Obama for the health care thing. Her name was one of the names that was targeted on this particular list. And she had been already gotten 42 threats. Well, we're talking about people now moving to action. This is a violent move to force us into other areas. This is bigger than what they're talking about, way bigger.
Roy Jones.
I've got some questions. First question I've got was, okay, the Congress lady, all right, she was shot, but the judge that's also been in place in Tucson, Arizona, was killed. I want to know what kind of rulings has he made that has made a difference or has challenged the status quo? Because trust me, this is bigger than what it is. Please answer.
Yeah, it was one about immigration, wasn't it, Cohen?
About immigration, no. He's the one that passed the immigration bill out there. I think it was last year. You know, he was put in by Bush, but he was the one. He was the federal judge that passed the immigration bill out there that Arizona's dealing with, and that's one of the things that was a hot topic out there. Why he was here.
So was the shooting really about the congresswoman, or was it more about the judge?
Exactly.
It was about the two.
Exactly. See, it could have been more about the judge because they're not concerned about illegal immigration because they've got to bring the NAFTA treaty on through. So that's why they have never secured the borders between Canada and Mexico. They want this to happen. And I'll tell you right now, and trust me, this New World Order, it's against
everybody.
It's
well underway.
It's against everybody. It's not only against black folks and Mexicans, it's white folks as well. Because trust me, they want white folks to be the minority in this country, and they will soon. And the only people that's going to be standing at the top are going to be that oligarchy that's sitting at the top. And I'd like to make I'd like to say something else, too, we've got some of our panel members talking about telling people to go buy this, go buy precious metals. Precious metals won't do you nothing when we hit rock bottom.
Now, what is your comment on that? Roy Jones is saying that they can take up all the gold and the silver.
And we just talked about it yesterday. I mean, come on. In 1933, it was illegal for you to own gold. They come to your house. Tell me
something. In 1933, they did have a loophole for wealthy people, and anybody who had pre-1933 gold coins, they were exempt. But if you had bullion or coins that were not rare, had some rarity, they were not confiscated.
But when it comes down to you cashing this in or making some barter change, how are you going to barter this? Because you know what? When you come to my house and you need some food, I'm not going to take a gold coin. I'm going to take a gallon of water.
You'll take silver coin because silver is a metal. That's the currency.
I'm not
going to
take silver either. I'm going to take a gallon of water, and I'm going to take some food to feed my kids. A silver coin is not going to feed my kids.
The food is fine, but they're going to come in with a new currency. And you have to have some exchange into a new currency.
Okay, Mr. Fontaine, so tell us, what should we be looking at? If, in fact, they do decide to come up with a new currency and we've collected gold and silver, where does that leave us?
Well, what is going to leave us?
Fontaine is over there collecting, so we want to know, what is this study showing him? What is your study showing you is going to happen, Fontaine?
We're giving them too much power, and we're not realizing that it's already, that we keep saying, like, people keep saying the New World Order and all of this stuff. It's a feudal system that's already been here. It's been here the whole time, you know. And all of a sudden, I'll give you an example. All of a sudden, it's all over the news. Europeans are being tasered when they pull the car over. They've been tasering us. So it's like a movie. When the monster is becoming, get ready to fall, it fights the hardest.
You're saying what good would it do? It does some good because people in all the other countries are buying gold and silver. We've been through this before.
Right. I agree with you.
We've been through this
you.
Before.
Yeah,
and you do. They're going to have a new currency. I don't care what anybody says.
Is that the mirror or are we talking about something else?
I don't know about the mirror. It'll be a new currency, whatever it is. It could be anything.
Okay.
It'll still be a fiat paper, whatever. But gold and silver, it's been around forever. And believe me, yes, food and water is good, and that's great. There's nothing wrong with it. But you're also supposed to have a variety of things of value, not just one thing. And all those countries are
okay,
fine.
Let's talk about what are those things. Okay, let's just say the New World Order is getting ready to go into place and they're going to take up the currency and give us a new currency. What should people have of value to sustain themselves?
You need to have
silver, because they need it.
You need to have at least 6 months to a year of food and water.
How many people can afford that?
Not many.
How many people can afford that?
Excuse me, let me finish, okay? You do it gradually. Some people don't have a lot of money to go buy it, but let me tell you, you don't want to depend on the government. So when you go to the store, each week you're supposed to pick up different items.
Over 50% of the people in the United States can't afford to do that. You're talking about a 15% of the population that's capable of going to the store and creating a surplus for their home.
But they want that to happen.
Let her finish, Troy.
It's not about everybody having what they're supposed to have. They're hoping that you don't do that. But those that can will. There are going to be people who are going to survive. There are going to be people who are not. And so it's an individual thing.
And if you haven't prepared, you just started that.
This isn't a year.
It's supposed to go in any situation. If you know where greenery is, if there's a park where you live, you go buy yourself a little book. If you don't have a lot of money, go to the library and get a book and learn about how many leaves are on a certain plant you can eat or cannot eat.
There's food
everywhere. It's in the park. It's in the hill. It's in your city and on a tree. If you can see green, that's food.
Wow.
And you got to just know what you can eat and what you can't. If you can get to sand, you can filter water. And so,
Karen.
Yes, sir, I hear David saying something. Yes, sir, David.
Dewa. Yes. I hear what everyone is saying. The process, when you know the system, what the system is calling for, little brother, is that means they talking about a reduction in population. They want you to die. And so when you got a reduction in population, they're going to either kill you off, to kill you off with certain food. You're killing yourself already, your generation of people, because of your dietary habits of eating pork and forbidden food. All of this stuff is killing you. Your history of an African American, since you've become an African American, I can recite that history.
You can see where
you have you have progressed. Through your dietary, have your children are obese, you're suffering from high blood pressure, all the diseases kill you at the age of 40 and 50. Well, that's how did our race of people go from 19 million down to 13? I remember
it's
when we
lie.
27 million
because
people.
It's
now,
a
we,
lie.
Now we're down to
because
13.
It's a lie. Because it's a lie, sir. It's a lie.
So your history. You got bad history. Your history is bad.
What you're not seeing is that the statistical information that we get, especially on the black population in this country, is a lie. They're telling us.
When you believe that's a lie, that's what the problem is, because you can look out there and see it. How many people your age know how to plant? Two things that you need is food and shelter. Nobody your age know how to plant, because if you tell me how to plant,
it's
I'm going to question you on
because
that.
Because the government is on a systematic.
No, it ain't the government that do this. My parents taught me this. It's your teaching and your training.
But wait, y'all, let's get back on. Let's get back to the point just a little bit, because if the audience is listening and they're confused as to what we are talking about, and we're talking about the Arizona Congressman Giffords shooting, that's what we're talking about. And so let's make it relative just a little bit more to the subject matter. And I know David is a big Rush Limbaugh listener. Not that he leaves like Rush, but he just listens in so he'll know and be a friend.
I listen to Rush Limbaugh, and I listen to all of these people. And I call Cohen, and I call Carol, and I call Mahara, and everybody in my class. I called them 4 months ago when Rush Limbaugh made a statement. He said that heads was going to start the rolling. One of the most thing that amazed me is he said the person that would assassinate people is the person that's sitting in a hotel room with a problem, a lone gunman, will start assassinating people. He says more than one off in this hotel. So when that alarmed me, if you say certain things, I spent 30 years in the military. I'm a combat soldier. I was a DI for 16 years. I taught sniper school and scout school. So when I go into counterintelligence on something, I go deep into counterintelligence on it, and that's why I notice of what he was saying. Well, now I'm seeing this stuff appear right now. And that's how you do counterintelligence. You listen. See, the first rule is listening. You first learn through listening, and then you learn through seeing. And if you can hear, most people can't hear. You first got to hear to learn. And
well,
once you learn, I use all the counterintelligence. People hate Glenn Beck. They hate black folks, hate Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Marg Levitt. I listen to these people every day, been listening to them and doing counterintelligence on over 15 years, marking down of what they say to see if that happens. Anybody in my class tell you that.
They represent the problem in the United States. They represent the top echelon of disinformationalists in the United States. They are not there to help anybody but themselves.
Are they sending out robots? Are they sending out subliminal messages to people who don't have better sense than not to
you need to
what
be reading
saying?
Them subliminal messages. And if you can't read them, you'll be litting by the wayside, and only 1% of black people can read those subliminal messages. That's the reason you're in the shape that you're in right now.
And that's why it has been a systematic dumbing down of our population. They have continuously underfunded the educational system here in the United States. They have skewed everything from the very beginning. I'm in the state of Hawaii, and I believe it's next year or the year after, they're not going to require students to even write in class. They're going to have them, so therefore writing will not be anything that they do anymore. They're not going to have students write cursive.
Okay, Carol is saying, so Carol say what?
I have some information about the judge. You said you want some information on the judge.
Yes,
the U.S. federal judge.
What's his name, Judge John Roll?
Yeah, the U.S. federal judge in the state of Arizona was assassinated barely 72 hours after he made a critical ruling against the Obama administration's plan to begin the confiscation of their citizens' private retirement and banking accounts in order to stave off their nation's imminent economic collapse. And so it also says that the same judge who this past Friday issued what is called a preliminary ruling in a case titled United States of America versus $333,520 in United States currency, wherein he stated he was preparing to rule against Obama's power to seize American citizens' money without clear and convincing evidence of a crime being committed. They are quietly changing rules about 401ks and IRAs to nationalize them, and which they're going to be taking people's money, doing something else with it. So it was more to this than what they're saying.
Oh, yeah, and you know what? It automatically stems in my mind. Like I said, we need to know exactly what the rulings were, because all of a sudden now the finger's pointing toward what they call the Manchurian candidate.
Yep, that's what that guy was.
Whoa.
We're pointed all towards the Manchurian candidate.
This is Mahir.
Mahir.
So far, the information that I heard Sister Carol putting out, and the brother who says is a Moore, and I want to say, as we usually say to each other, greetings, Moore, because if you notice, the title of my last name tells you that I am also a Moore. A lot of information that I got, the science, law, things that I heard you discussing, we learned a lot. We studied law, constitutional law, natural law, and as such. Now, let me keep it in context with this, because I'm also a former military myself. I, as one of the panel members on here, was a commander, and my latter years in the military was that and the New York Army National Guard, okay? And we trained for civil disturbance and things of that nature to deal with these kinds of things. So let me just mentioned two things that's worth mentioning. He talked about colorable law, which is a common term to your listening audience. You know, they want to know specifically what are we talking about. Codified, when they created colorable money, they created this thing called the Uniform Commercial Code. Now, in addition to the Uniform Commercial Code, this, what you see acting out in the courts, okay, with regard to how they create this system of rules that they use to control and govern this and so-called assert authority over us, is referred to as prima facie law, okay? Prima facie law, in case you're not familiar with that, prima facie law means it appears to be so on the surface. Until it is challenged, then it becomes that which the said parties agree upon. So, again, this is all part of the process of dumbing the people down. So they push your back against the wall without you realizing that their backs are already against the wall because they're panicking, okay? And one thing you have to learn about your adversary will let you know through buzzwords, okay, what it is they're about to do before they do it. Here's an example. One of the elites died last year. Some of y'all might be familiar with Lindsey Williams. He was a chaplain for this particular group of elitists who established the Alaska pipeline. And whenever something was in the pipes, wars, whatever, this is going to happen with this country, price of oil going up, whatever it might be, he was teaching Lindsey how to listen to the buzzword. This is something along the lines of what Dewar was saying. That's your part of counterintelligence. You hear what's being said, but what you need to listen to through the mouthpieces, and remember I read something out of protocols, agentors. Agentors are those who are either directly or indirectly on the payroll of those who are trying to coerce you, corral you, into what they refer to in military terms as the kill sack. Okay, and that's a term that they actually kind of borrowed from Russian and Chinese military tactics. So they attack you from your flanks. They start getting the people who seem to be the most vocal, who have some sort of idea of what is really taking place. Those people are labeled insane. These are not people out here shooting and gunning people down. They're trying to wake people up. So they get attacked. It will have you second-guessing, well, you know what, maybe this person, like what we're discussing on this panel, maybe we're insane. We're not insane. We see the illusion. We understand the illusion. There's a history to the illusion, when it started, and some of us, depending on what it is that we're looking at, also know that there's a timetable for when they're about to move you to the next phase. So what does all this really mean? The gunman who shot the congresswoman, who killed the judge, other people wounded, and granted, let's just say for argument's sake, he may have been a lone gunman. How does that play into threat assessment? Okay, because you keep in mind, the Pentagon, prior to 2008, had a war game that they played. They said it was a very unusual type of war game. The war games normally at the Pentagon, without the involvement of personnel moving around physically on the ground at the moment, starts with the chief of staff. The chief of staff defines what the op plan, the operational plan, is going to be and what the contrived threat is. Based on that, they set the appropriate threat levels. Now, the war game was one that dealt with what they referred to as financial terrorism. Financial terrorism included what would be happening amongst the populace, which is here in the U.S., and what they would do, what actions they would take, how they would attempt to deal with that. Things are in graduating stages. And keep in mind, the method for how they intend to deal with it is multidimensional. So it's not just linear where they wait for one gunman. There's several things going on. The dollar is being devalued, but what they refer to as the dollar, that's being devalued. They are aware that there will be civil unrest, i.e. anything to do with food, your lights are going out, electrical rationing, all kinds of things, and the control of food that will continue to move on the highways what they intend to do about that. So
well, let me ask
when
a question.
You hear threat assessment is set for red, it translates and trickles down into other areas, which is dealing with physical security. So physical security means what sort of barriers, how deep the barriers will be. Barriers don't necessarily mean a physical blockade, but that's part of it. And then going into a person's home based on martial law being declared, how they're going to take confiscation guns, and if you are stocking up food, canned goods and that such, because we war game for this ourselves starting in 1984, with they started to bring together various different branches of service that were not accustomed to working together to deal with the threats, Air Force, Marines, Army, you name it, all of it, Navy, all of it, how they would exactly attempt to deal with this. When they try to put martial law into place, it's more than asking you for your papers, meaning your driver's license or whatever new form of ID they might want to bring in. And they demonstrated some of it during Katrina. When they went in house to house, they were confiscating weapons. They didn't confiscate food. But the next time around, confiscating food will also be part of it. Because the whole thing is that you need to be left defenseless. Now, let me give you a little positive, outlook on
the silver coins are going to help you.
Okay, let me break in just a second. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the all-new KLA Steve's Talk, bringing you center stage with today's topic, the Arizona Congressman Giffords shooting. If you're on the line and have a question or a comment, press 1. Or if you're listening via the Internet, dial us up at 347-850-8390. I'm sorry, 347-850-8390. And again, press 1. A reminder, Mr. Kundalini is in the chat room this afternoon, so if you are having a question or comment that you'd like to pose to the panel, please post it up in chat. Okay, I'm listening to the conversation, but let me ask a question to the panel. Or when you have people like Rush and Sarah and Sean and Glenn Beck making statements like the ones they make, are they partly the responsible in when situations like this occur?
Sister Karen.
Yes, sir, David.
I've been listening to them for so long. The system, the way the system works is that they let you know ahead of time of what they're going to do.
Mm.
It's just that you got to be able to decipher all of the messages. I've been at it so long that I hear them. You know, they tickle me, because if you listen to CNN, then that's the liberals would tell you and listen to Fox with the conservatives. So you got the liberal and you got the conservative thing going on. Now, the Tea Party, those are the hardcore conservatives, and these conservatives that will sell out and go with these liberals, they are getting these people out of the Republican system. They might be there, but they ain't going to hold no water. They're going to filter them out, because what has happened, they have infiltrated into the Republican Party, and too many liberals have infiltrated into that party, and that's what they are filtrating out right now with the hardcore conservative movement with the Tea Party.
Let me ask you one question. When you say they tell you what they're going to do ahead of time.
The Reagan conservatives is the Tea Party, and they tell you who they are. They tell you what they believe in. They don't care what color you are, because they got a lot of blacks.
When you say they're sending out messages and they let you know what they're going to do ahead of time, are they sending out subliminal messages on a level that only those people that follow them and is part of what they're doing is aware of? Or are they being very direct in what they're saying?
No, they send out, they tell you exactly what they're going to do. It's just that you have to read the messages. If you was in my class, then you would know about the messages, because Cohane and Carol and Mahal tell you, I'll let you know, and we'll sit down and discuss everything that's going on. We already almost know what's going to happen, what's going down.
But are they to blame for some of this, though? If people are starting to get hurt, are they to blame for the kind of things that they're putting out there?
Well, Democratic, let's look at the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party, the present Democratic Party right now, represents socialism.
It's the same as the Republican Party because
The Democratic Party is a Fabian. The people that's running that party believe in a system called Fabianism, which would not happen in the United States. The United States is a Republican. It's not a monarchy form of government. It's not a democratic form of government. When you say you can't have the Democrats and the Republicans here, that lie has got to cease automatically because the Democratic Party, the Constitution tell you, don't even allow for no Democrat or Republican Party in the United States. So the Democratic Party and the people that say they Democrats, you ain't even considered a constitutionalist. And this, if you want a monarchy form of government, you go to Great Britain. That's a democratic form of government when you got the House of Lords and House of Commons. As long as you got a Senate and representative, that's the Republican form of government. It ain't going to come, but what has happened, liberalism has came up so that almost two-thirds of the people have become liberal, which is democratic, which is trying to take over this government. That's why you hear the people hollering, you taking over my government, you're not Constitution. That's got to go, or don't these people are going to fight a civil war again right here in America.
Okay, so that leads to a good question.
I can guarantee you won't be a civil war in this country. There will not be a civil war in this country. The people have watched too much TV. I'm telling people not to watch TV. You can read. You need to go back to the books. You need to read exactly what's going on because TV is a deception and it's a lie. It's a way. It's just a way of giving out the system's propaganda in order to control you and your actions.
Yeah, you got to know what's propaganda and what ain't propaganda, brother man. You got to know which is which. Because reading the Bible.
I'm not going to let TV judge that for me. Because I'm not going to let TV do that for me. Because TV's a lie.
I'm going to tell you about me, little brother. How you feel and how you think. It doesn't bother me none whatsoever how you feel or what you think. That's your business. If that's the way you feel.
No, that's the truth.
That's
TV
the way
is
you
a lie.
And that's
everything
the way
on
you
TV
think
is
it
a lie.
But
it's a lie. You know the Democratic Party. You know the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are the same party. They're always going to work together. That's why you have people changing lines all the time. You talk about the Tea Party. We already know the Tea Party has already been infiltrated. If you ever go to a Tea Party rally, they actually protest themselves because they already had big money. Big money's moved in and took over their party.
Okay, let me jump in here. First of all, Mohair, L, your phone is back open. But Kohan, you were going to say what?
I was trying to tell the panel we're all on here discussing, not trying to talk or take it personal, because we all are being governed and guided by certain things. Everybody's making good points, but let us not forget. They are all being orchestrated by a hierarchy. These guys are just puppets. These are puppets we're dealing with out here.
Correct.
When you watch TV or read a paper, we're being governed. We are being made pawns in the game because when you read protocol, it tells you they have the power to create these things and dissipate these things, and they have not lied yet. The whole thing going down, we can read it chapter for chapter, verse for verse. It's already orchestrated, planned. It's already in force. There's nothing you're going to do about it because you're in no position to do other than have a civil war. And you're not going to win because of the technology that we have, that America has now, with these sound waves able to blind you, bust your eardrum, bust your heart with frequencies. You're not going to be able to go against that with your guns.
Now, brother,
if you just tuned in, you listen.
I agree with you totally.
But let me
make this. When you all keep bringing up this book, The Protocols of Zion, that's a whole nother show because that goes into something entirely different. The Protocols of Zion.
I have the book in front of me. All the doctors in front of me.
Go ahead, brother.
When I say it, because I'm looking at it in detail, line for line, as if I'm reading off of scripture. I mean, right down the line, this is what's going on. You said they will cause people to do these things.
Let me bring it
up because it's a very important book to look at to understand what's really taking place.
Let me pause y'all just a second. just a second. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Center Stage. Today's topic is the Arizona Congresswoman Giffords shooting. If you're on the line and have a question or a comment, press 1. Or if you're listening via the Internet, dial us up at 347-850-8390, and again, press 1. A reminder, the chat room is open today. Mr. Kundalini is minding it, so if you have a question or a comment, you can post it up in chat as well. Okay, let's make another connection here. Birds dropping out of skies, okay? Fish dying in large numbers. Missiles showing up. Mr. Wheeler, John, what's his name? John Wheeler, who died around New Year's Day, found in a dumpster, had worked for the Pentagon as an aide and had worked for 3 presidents as an aide. Is all this connected?
It's all connected.
Let me just bring up the bird thing. It was very fascinating to find out that the thousands and thousands of birds, and nobody knows the exact number, that they were the same kind of bird. It wasn't just different birds. They were the same species of bird.
Wow.
I need to correct that because I'm dying of where it's happening at. We had different types of species because they had 500 to 5 outside of Baton Rouge. Out of Beaver, Arkansas, it was the all same kind, but down in Louisiana where I'm at, there was different types of birds, and they landed down the electrical line, and we know better than that. When you check the news, man, in Louisiana, it was a mixture of birds that died
but
in the 500.
But in Arkansas, it was the same bird.
Same in Arkansas, yes, but in Louisiana,
that's a problem.
So it's a different now.
That's a problem.
In Arkansas, they had 86,000.
That's a problem.
86,000 brims came
now
up.
That's the problem. And you talk about listening to TV. TV's not telling us that problem. They're not telling us to solve that problem.
Are we looking at a bigger picture here in terms of something really big is about to happen? That all these things are connected in a sense that who knows? I mean, is it an attack?
It's happening right now. We're all under attack. Why we have fat kids. No, let's talk about they spraying Teflon on you. Ever go into McDonald's and you find out why the wrapper, where you don't have a soggy wrapper anymore? It's because they spray Teflon on it. Teflon is in people's bodies.
My question is, is it something bigger?
It's an attack.
Let me finish. Is it terrorism from outside or is it terrorism from inside? Is my point.
Both.
Inside and outside, Mr. Kerry. We're at all points.
It's both.
Okay.
Inside and outside, all points. Now, what do you do as being caught up in this madness, in the belly of this beast? What do we do for survival?
Right.
How do we try to get around this thing?
Right. This is Mihir. Let me maybe comment on this real quick. To one of the panelists, Roy, he made mention about why he doesn't see there being a civil war, quote unquote, the way that, let's say, the last civil war had occurred in the 1800s. Look at this for a second. Kerry, you and I had a very brief conversation, maybe an hour or so before this show today. And I made mention that many of us, and all of us on the panel, we all have access to certain pieces of information, okay? And when we come together on a platform like this, the listening audience gets to hear a wide range of different things. And all the things are valid within their own right as they are being stated, which lets the listening audience know, wait a minute, this is a multi-pronged, multifaceted thing going on here. Now, the information that I'm aware of is that the Civil War, the biggest part of the Civil War and how it supposedly is supposed to be played out and ended is not the old style from the 1800s, the North versus the South. Yeah, there's going to be some of that with unrest. People don't have access to their money. They feel that they don't have food, whatever it might be. Okay, a lot of that's going to be acted upon emotions, which is, as we know, mind control. We know that. Now, how does this play in to the world at large? Keep your eye on Russia and China. What does that mean? Well, they war gamed this scenario, which was financial terrorism, and played it all the way out, in which it was concluded at the Pentagon that if this thing escalates where missiles are flying and all this other sort of stuff starts to happen, where the U.S. as a power, military power, stands, and how will they fare in this? Well, here's how they saw themselves faring. The U.S. saw itself losing in a battle. Now, there's many more factors that go into why someone will want to fight, okay? And we're talking military, soldiers, Navy, the whole package. Well, what they had war game this scenario out, and this is what's just on the war game scenario side. It hasn't happened yet, so we don't see this happening. But here's what they said. Russia and China would really wait. So everybody's waiting and got a part in hoping the powder keg inside of this country goes off with the populace, those who live in the country versus those who live in the city, okay, that Russia would seize an opportunity. This is a war game scenario, so this is not from Russian secret papers or anything, that Russia would launch an attack against the U.S., its major cities, to take out, as well, major military installations, because Russia, as well as China, already sees the U.S. as a threat. Now, where is part of that threat coming from? I invite you all to pay attention to one of the gentlemen. You got Paul Revere. You got another gentleman who wrote a book, Economic Hitmen, okay? And the things that the U.S. did to establish itself with its fiat money around the world, okay, taking over countries, knocking over countries. You mentioned a little piece yesterday with regard to foreign aid. Foreign aid did not and has not made itself into the hands of the populace. That is not what we're going on here. We're talking corporations, oil, mostly oil, and others that are all interconnected with that. So the money leaves here. It goes out into the hands of those who's going to be building up, like Saudi Arabia, building up infrastructure where they have an immediate return on their investment. You don't get that from the populace, because the populace is not factored into that. But basically, they war game the scenario, and they figure somewhere around 2015 that the U.S. would be broken up. And there's a Russian guy, by the way. I can't remember his name right at the top of my head. But he has been talking about this since 1998 in Moscow. And he was talking about the factors and the things that he saw that was occurring that he had said, based on his research and the way things were going, he saw that the United States was broken up into six pieces, and which piece would go to where, which piece would be favoring where. We're in Texas. I'm in Texas. Kara, you're in Texas. Mm-hmm. The law's in Texas, okay? They saw that Texas would be more or less absorbed back into Mexico. Now, there's a lot of things that tie into that. Because if you look at how this so-called country has been set up, they can't come out exactly and tell the people that all of the things that they claimed they were established, the principles that was used to establish, quote-unquote, the United States of America at large, they can't tell them, listen, I know you've been paying on this house, your mortgage note is this, that, and the other, but we cannot really give you a real clear title because all the land in this country was on the lease anyway from different people that they made the agreements with, and then they turned around through attacking war, assassinations, over the 200-and-something years that this country has, quote-unquote, been in existence. They can't come out and tell the people, although the information is not exactly a secret, you just have to know where to go find it. They can't tell the people that, listen, you really don't own the country. That's why when you have the Tea Party showing up, there's different factions within that Tea Party. Some guys up in Montana, Iowa, Idaho, Wisconsin, all these different places, you know, they're going to have to come back to the Aboriginal indigenous people who were here already, who still have knowledge of these original treaties, and say, listen, your experiment, and this is how America is referred to in the world at large, the American experiment. When you say an experiment, what are you doing? You're in the lab creating something, right? And you're taking your tests, you're running your analysis, okay, whatever it is that you need to do, and you say, okay, this is the direction we need to go into, and then they put that information out. They quote-unquote indoctrinate us into what it is to get us to believe and accept what they're saying. So I'm like Roy in the sense that I don't trust the TV, the radio, and that sort of stuff because all of that's propaganda. It really is. They got to keep
jump
you
in this.
Believing.
You need your mail, Karen.
Let me jump in. If you're listening, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Center Stage, and today's topic is the Arizona Congresswoman Giffords shooting. If you're on the line and have a question or a comment, press 1. Or if you're listening via the Internet, dial us up at 347-850-8390, and again, press 1. A reminder, Kundalini is in the chat room today, so if you have a question or a comment, you can post it up in chat. We love to hear from you. Okay. Let's look at this from one aspect. Was it you, Kohan, that brought up the fact that they were reading the Constitution for the first time? I don't know if we talked about that on air or off air the other day.
The House Speaker had them to read in the session of the day with the Republican when they was taking the seat for the first time in the history. But also at the same time, they're in the process of creating what they call the Conservative Constitution, which is a new rewrite of the Constitution. They revamped a lot of the words in it, even addressing the thing on slavery, addressing the thing on immigrants. They're saying now they're trying to pass a law, it's called anchor babies. You can no longer come and have a baby become a citizen. Those things are in the works right now that's coming up. So they're saying now things are getting in a position whereby they're going to rewrite the Constitution to get away the affirmative right situation thing. They're addressing the two-thirds issue. A lot of the things that come to do with the folks that don't watch TV. Well, you ain't got that to watch TV. Just do look at things around you and check the newspaper and watch the people in the environment like I do. I watch all aspects of information and decipher it and work with it. So this was out there when I called Karen and told us, Karen, that the show yesterday, they're talking about everything we talked about today, along with the congresswoman being shot, that opened up a lot of floodgates. Now they're sending out CIA and FBI are going out now. A lot of these judges and congressmen to give them protection because they figure they're on the Senate pay and hit list, and they figure that's what's going to be a problem.
Kohan, another thing I wanted to bring up: we talked about the word American, and what did you tell me about the word American?
That's what you said for real American. Well, you know you're not a real American because you are neither European or Anglo-Saxon. You're none of those. And what people don't realize, and these guys can attest what I'm saying, this country flies on the two flags. One has friends, and one does not have friends. The one with the friends is maritime. That's a different law altogether. What people call about the American thing, that's long been gone. It's
okay,
long
let's go
gone.
Back to that one more time. The one that has fringes is what?
Maritime.
Okay. And that is the one
that's
we
right.
Go by.
Right. Anybody been in the Navy, knows that's a different law altogether. When you walk in a courtroom, the flag behind the judge is not an American flag. That's a maritime flag. I bet my brother Mahal can address it a little bit further because we discussed it and we talked about it and at length. There is a law against adulterating the flag. Well, that flag has been adulterated because it has friends. The colors are red, white, and blue. Where did the gold come from? The gold friend represents another America, corporate America.
So when we hear – now, give them an example of when you hear the term American and the fact that they're not talking about us.
They're not talking about – it makes you a real American. They're talking about the so-called whites that came in later, that the country was so-called was named America. When they talk about real red-blooded Americans, they're not talking about black people, Mexicans. They're talking about those elite whites.
That's
European.
Top 1%, y'all. That's top
1%. Brother Cohen.
Yes, sir.
Let's remember that May the 1st, 1776, it was 72 Anglo-Saxons changed their name to Americans. It took 94 years so they let they slave become an American. You became a black one up under the black code in 1870. The Americans, when they say we the people, that was them 72 families. Those families, if you trace the history, has been in running the party. They started off as the federal, but all of a sudden the federal became the government and running things, And this is all in a Masonic order, because the Great Seal of the United States of America is a Masonic seal. So you had to know what secret society was started running. Out of those secret societies came other secret societies. But when we follow the history, we can see exactly. And this is what I see one guy on the panel. If he need the book, I have no problem with getting the book to him, because, you know, Cole and I know Noble Jamil, right, Cole?
Yeah.
Noble Jamil, we have passed a lot of information on to him. But in Protocol 11, let me read what it says here. Then it would have to be the Republican.
Okay,
and
tell
then
them, David,
replace,
when Protocol was established.
And then we would listen to what this says here. When we would replace the government by a president taken from the mob, which is the Democrats, they call the Democratic government the mob of people. We would go amongst our ex-slaves. Well, I think that they not say that he was an ex-slave. And then we would find a foundation in mind. We would lay up under the Goheen. A Goheen people. Goheen is the American. This is a Jewish word that come out of the Jews call the Anglo-Saxon, the American Goheen. And then it said by that time we brought, and this will form a new government and a new constitution. In this book it tells you exactly how they will form this
definition.
Constitution.
I mean, that's Roy Jones. Say what, Roy Jones?
That's the wrong definition. That word means Gentile.
But it also means
a non-Jew.
That's
a Gentile. Goheen means
the word. Goheen means Gentile.
It's the Germanic race of people, little brother. The Germanic race of people is the Anglo-Saxons,
like
the Jutes, and the Angels. Now, I can recite the history. Goheen.
Stop bringing that book up, because, first of all, the listening audience, the majority of the listening audience is not going to go read this book. Now, this is an intellectual book that we can discuss on a personal matter, but as far as when it talks about it, Tucson and the current events going on, yes, it plays in place. But you know what? As far as us bringing this book up again about your misinterpretations of what's going on around here, that's not going to help the people that have lost their lives out there. It's not going to help the people who's going to lose their homes coming up this year. It's not going to help the people who's going to be hungry in the next 15 months from now.
Have you ever wrote a check?
What's really going on?
Have you ever wrote a check and then you had to put void above it, you didn't cash it in? Well, the African American people, the check to them, to the United States of America, is void. If you ain't able to fend for yourself, brother, then you're going to be voided out of this system. This is why only 1% of the African Americans will not be the void. It's because, for the simple reason, you don't understand what I'm talking about.
You just tuned in. You're listening to Center Stage. Today's topic is the Arizona Congressman Giffords shooting. If you're on the line and have a question or a comment, press 1. Or if you're listening via the Internet, dial us up at 347-850-8390, and again, press 1. A reminder, Kundalini is in the chat room today, so if you have a question or a comment, you can also post it up in chat, and Mr. Kundalini will bring it to the panel. Okay, so Roy, you don't feel that Protocol has any place in this conversation?
The Protocol, it does have its place, but it is not in this conversation, because the Protocol, believe it or not, is more spiritually based than anything else.
You don't understand Protocol.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever read the Protocol?
No, it is.
Have you ever read the Protocol?
It is more spiritually based, because you all got to understand that that those protocols were. Trust me. Listen now. Those protocols were directly written from those people, from the Jewish, from the Hebrews, and the Kabbalists.
Wait a minute, hold up.
Okay, let me jump in. First of all, let's establish, when was Protocol written? That was 1889?
1889
written,
and the guy's name was...
Okay, so for all of those who don't understand what you're talking about, they're called...
And you keep bringing up the Masonic Order.
Wait a minute,
Roy,
let me establish this so
that they can
listen to
do what's going on in here today.
But wait,
the Masonic Order has nothing to do. That's old news.
Okay, well, wait a minute. Let me establish for those who don't even understand what they're talking about.
That's all new.
Let me refer to the book, y'all. We're talking about the book Protocol, which was...
Yeah.
Okay,
the
wait a minute,
Protocol,
Roy, give me a break.
It was entirely inspired. Trust me, it is, in my opinion, and I'm gonna make it plain and clear for the audience out there. It is satanically influenced.
Oh wow!
Oh shit!
because that book, the Protocol of Zion, is how they run the country, how they're gonna run the world, how they're gonna run the New World Order. The New World Order is all about. It's right now. It's depopulation. Anything that does not abide by the rules that Jesus Christ has taught us is evil to me, and it's evil to everybody I know. I'm not here to try to.
Okay.
If you're talking about only 1% of the African Americans in this country are gonna make it, you don't need to be on this show because I want everybody to make it. I cannot understand how you would sit down there.
Is that Kundalini?
Yeah.
Karen. Yeah. Okay. Somebody just called me. Who was that? Was that you, David?
No, that was me.
These people do not deal with no religion. I'm gonna tell you about what these people. These are not no Jews.
These are not no Jews that you're dealing with.
And he ain't never read. See, if you ain't never read Protocol, you can't expound upon some knowledge of a book that you ain't never read.
Okay, let's see something coming out of the chat room. Hold on 1 second,
Protocol
David.
That I got in front of me right now and
okay.
been had it over 30 years.
Well,
you don't have that group.
Don't
know
anything
about
what's happening in Tucson.
Let's see what's coming out of the chat room. Hold 1 second. Kundalini, you were saying what?
No, I was just wanting to let you know that we're probably going to have a caller from the 843 code that wants to actually get a chance to speak in. So if you get a call from that number, they're actually in the chat room, and they're listening to some of the stuff, and there's some people that want to call in to listen in, so you might just want to check out for that.
Okay,
and I just wanted to also comment, too.
If they raise their hands, I'll go to them. Okay, area code 843, good afternoon.
Good evening. How are you?
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm just kind of listening in about the flag. I'm the gentleman in the room there, Tea Party Vets.
Yes.
That flag issue is in the way that he quoted it, he's incorrect.
The flag
with the fringes. It is on the one hand a maritime flag. It is also a flag that's used for the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, and Coast Guard. It's also used by civilian maritime units, but it's also used by the United States government for ceremonial purposes only. The fringe is put on flags that are cased, and that means that flag is sitting permanent on a flag stand, and it does not fly above any office, any capital, or anything else. The fringe does not appear on a flag that does fly above a courthouse or any other official place where the flag is flown on a pole. So you're right on the on one hand, but wrong on the other hand.
I don't think when you go into a courtroom, that flag behind that judge definitely has a fringe on it. The one behind the president has a fringe on it.
Yes.
Now, I understood that. Now, I was about to put it outside. Yes, ceremonial. Being a color guard and a military myself, I understand that. But I also know that, like you said, it do with what laws govern a maritime, what laws govern on the water.
But there are maritime laws, but those laws do not supersede the laws of this land. You have international agreements and you have tariffs and agreements between countries as far as their conduct on the ocean, but those laws are not superseded by any law that's passed by Congress or signed into law by the president. And that's
when Congress passes a law, what flag is in mind? Then in Congress, what flag is flying?
Sir, the flag is irrelevant. I think you're getting a symbol mixed up with the actual. No symbol or flag can create a law.
Okay, they have pink symbols, signs and symbols. If you look inside the Congress Hall, there's two pillars have symbols on. Do you recognize what those symbols are?
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Can a law be passed in a legislature without the mace being hung in that legislative body?
Can what now?
Can a law be passed in a legislative body without the mace being there? Now, do you know what the mace is?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Okay,
so
it's an actual. It looks like a club.
Okay.
It's a decorative item that hangs.
It's a Masonic
in
symbol.
It is not a Masonic symbol. It is not a Masonic symbol.
I'm a 32nd degree Rosicrucian Mason. Scott is right, Yog right, and Prince Hall. My family has been in Masonry for 110 years. Ain't nothing about the Masonic large signs and symbols that I don't know. Now Mason is part of your working tools of your profession.
Now, I wouldn't be proud of it because you're not the only one sitting on the panel. I wouldn't be proud of it either. Obviously, you don't know really what you are. You're not the only one on the panel
I'm not a Mason. I'm not a Mason, and I have no intention
of being
a Mason.
You're not the only one on the panel.
I don't want to be one.
Thank you.
Okay.
I mean, but I'm saying is that mace is a decorative item that each state has one, but you can pass a law without that symbol being there. You see what I'm saying?
Correct.
I mean, we're getting hung up on symbols instead of the actual passing and the actual, you know, observing of legislature. No matter if the American flag is not flying, that doesn't mean that the laws are null and void. The laws are still there.
This is Coontown, and I'll say this in reference to the law because there's some things and aspects I've said to y'all that I can speak on in that reference. Even though it would seem as so that the different symbolisms or different symbols that are in a room on a flag are that they don't mean anything, they actually do. When you look at the courthouse, as far as here in Dallas, Texas, we have a loose theory. When you go to those courtrooms, the flag is actually hanging vertical. If you look up in the law, under Black's Law Dictionary, when the flag is hanging vertical in a room, there is no law.
If there's a flag in the room
that has fringes on that flag, it changes into a military situation. It's no longer civilian. If you look at the pole, which has certain things on it, like sometimes it will have a ball, which is military recruitment, or it will have an eagle in a courtroom, which it is not supposed to have because the eagle, the only time you're supposed to see that particular symbol on top of that pole is if the president of the United States is in the building. Each of these symbols have various meanings, and it definitely changes the whole rule to the game of the situation, no different than if you were to walk in that very same courtroom with a flag, such as the United Nations flag or the Mexican flag or any other flag of which you choose to represent yourself with. Those laws that you fall under in that courtroom change.
Okay, y'all, we're going Caller, we have another question for you, but I want to go to the next caller and at least get a chance to get back to you. So if you would, hold on. We're going to go to area code 901. Good afternoon. Welcome to Center Stage.
How you doing, Center Stage?
Hi, fine. How are you?
This is Perry Steele.
Perry Steele, how you doing? Perry Steele is out of Memphis, Tennessee, y'all, and he's got his own Blog Talk Radio show, so I know he's going to bring something hot tonight.
how your panel doing? How y'all doing?
Everything's fine, Brother Steele.
That's good. No, I wasn't going to bring anything hot.
Okay.
What I want to do is just comment on your show and tell you I listen to your show, Center Stage.
Okay, thank you.
I want to call in and chime in on that. But especially I want to send my condolences out to, you know, Congresswoman Gifford.
Right, yes.
Yeah. You know, and not only that, the judge and the others that were killed and shot and the psychological trauma.
Right.
People who witnessed that must have felt.
Right.
Yeah, because when you look at it, the media try to put some spin on it, like this is political vitriol, and that, you know, the way we talk to each other is what led up to this. And some people are saying Sarah Palin said that, you know, Miss Gifford, Gabrielle Gifford, is going to be targeted and things of that nature. You know, have you ever noticed, brother, the politician can talk that stuff, but it's always the poor people that take it too far.
Ooh, always.
You know, so they never
go out shooting nobody. You're right, it's poor people.
It's the poor people. Now, this poor white trash, sick demon, shot this woman and these other people. You know, like I said, he didn't have a political agenda. And what I was praying that he wasn't an illegal immigrant or a
Mexican.
I was praying. You know, I was hoping and praying that whoever did it, I was hoping they weren't an illegal immigrant. Because had they been an illegal immigrant or a Mexican, we'd have a civil war in Arizona today. We would.
Wow.
We'd actually have one.
Oh, no, we wouldn't.
Yes, we would.
Roy Jones does not believe a civil war can happen. I don't know why Roy Jones just does not believe in that principle that that can happen.
Yeah, well, them people
like
in Arizona
are
sick of these illegal immigrants.
I live in Tucson, Arizona. I lived in Tucson, Arizona for 6 years. I know what's going on in Tucson.
They sick of. The people in Arizona are sick of. I'm
We're going to leave your phone lines open, and we're going to go to area code 111. Good afternoon. Welcome to Center State. And by the way, Mr. Fontaneous, your line is back open. Area code 111.
I would advise everybody on this phone to not listen to this almost congressman, Perry Steele.
Oh.
Cut it out, Joe.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's one of his buddies.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, crazy joke.
Erico, well, what do you think of the Arizona shooting? What do you want to add to that?
I didn't know of it, but if a congresswoman got shot, I say good, because if you would shoot a thief, if the thief came to your house and tried to burglarize it, wouldn't you?
But,
wow.
You're going to get eaten alive. I'm sorry.
I know that's right.
All right, now anybody in Congress is a thief.
Wow. You're going to get eaten alive for that
Correct.
That it was an illegal immigrant that shot the lady or those people, because Europeans are illegal immigrants since 1492.
Yes.
People have to get right in on their history.
Man.
Well, I don't know anything about the shooting, and if it was by illegal immigrants, they should be sent back. I don't like immigrants to begin with, but a congresswoman or a congressman, usually, even if they get into Congress with good intentions, turn out to be thieves. So I have no sympathy for anybody.
Wow, 111, you need to turn the TV on today, then, because it's the biggest story in the news. Wow.
Immigrant. Who's an immigrant? Do you consider a person from Jamaica an immigrant or from Haiti? These people are Americans. And people don't understand geography, and they need to get their geography together, because when Columbus landed here, he landed in the Americas. These are the Americas, and Mexico is America.
They're not the same, though. They're not the same. That's why they call them North, Central, and South. They're not the same.
And it wasn't even named America when Columbus got here.
It was called the New World.
It wasn't even named America when Columbus got here.
That
white boy said that this was the New World. And when they say New World Order, that means that an old world order is coming to the New World. That's what that means. When you see the word New
World
Order, that means the old world order that came from the east, that came to the west. The Masons will tell you it traveled from the east to the west. God came from the east to the west. That's what the Masons said, because the people that lived in the Western Hemisphere believed this one from the Eastern Hemisphere.
Well,
this is where you need to start your information from when you start giving out information. Start at the beginning.
Let me go back to the phone lines just a second, y'all. Area code 843. You identified yourself as a Tea Party vet. Are you a Tea Partier?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And I'm going to very carefully say what I'm about to say. Do you think that some of the language that you all used in this last election had anything to do with what happened in this shooting?
No.
Okay.
Not
and
at
why,
all.
And why is that?
Not at all. Because of the simple fact that if anyone had gone or attended the Tea Party rallies, and I'm an actual speaker. I'm actually the national head of one of the Tea Party organizations. Now this is brother, don't shock you. I'm African American.
Okay.
No, yeah, we
so, so the thing,
don't shock
the thing
brother.
About this,
ain't nothing wrong with
that's,
that.
That's no shock
thing,
because I know what you I know what you guys believe in. I'm not African American. I might look like them, but we got the same color skin, but we're not kin. And I tell you that in a New York second, I'm not an African American because you was made an African American. I can tell you what year the white man made you an African American because that ain't what you were until you didn't become an African American until 1964 when Jesse Jackson got up and said, "I'm no longer black. I'm an African American. I'm no longer colored." So you were colored people all the way up to 1964.
I understand that.
Okay, well, people, tell us why that you all use, and I'm not saying you specifically, but the Tea Party used, when they were seeing, you know, revolution and overthrowing the government if things aren't, you know,
back.
Turned over the way that y'all felt that they should be turned over. Doesn't that send liminal messages to people who may not be stable?
No. Here's the thing. Here's the thing that you see, a person that is on the right of what the news media believes or stands for will take a term like revolution and think it means an armed insurrection to overthrow the government.
I think they said overthrow the government, even if it means take back
the government to more conservative values. And
did anybody else hear the terms overthrow the government with violence?
Wait, that flag with that serpent on it.
Okay.
Don't tread on me. Do not create a law that this usurps my rights.
Okay.
What does the Constitution say? The Constitution give you that right.
The Constitution gives you the right that if the government is run by tyrants, they overthrow the government.
That's in the Constitution.
Okay, let me make a point. Well, I think today we're going to go into overtime again. So I'm going to tell everybody that's listening via the Internet to get on the phone lines, and you need to be on the phone lines by straight up 5 o'clock because we will stop streaming via the Internet, but you can still hear the conversation via the phone line. So I'm going to ask everybody that's listening via the Internet to get on the phone lines, dial us up at 347-850-8390 and be on the phone lines by straight up 5 o'clock. Okay, so 843, you just think your language, meaning the Tea Party language, was just to do what? I mean, when you use strong language like overthrow the government, that was saying what?
No one said anything about overthrowing the government.
Yes, they did.
Did you physically hear someone from the Tea Party or from a Tea Party organization with your own ears say that we want to overthrow the government?
On TV, where was it, an official spokesman?
When they, because the problem,
he ran for the District 30 seat in Dallas. He ran for a Congress seat in Dallas, District 30. Stephen Broden, a Tea Partier, said overthrow the government if necessary.
Then this gentleman is definitely not someone who is an authentic Tea Party follower because that's not one of the stands that we take. We do not advocate violence in any form, way, shape, form, or fashion.
But you carry guns to all your rallies, though.
No, we do not.
You do what?
You carry guns to all your rallies. Listen, we do not carry guns to all around.
Right,
I had a rally in Hartsville, South Carolina. And by the way, if you have a permit to carry your gun concealed, there's nothing in the law that
none
says
of these
you
guns
were
concealed.
It's your freedom.
I see assault rifles where the guy had a sign that said, "Take it from me if you want to."
Listen, here's the thing. This is what really upsets me. There's a different set of standards that's put on individuals that do not think like the media says. If you do not hold certain values or you think something is incorrect, say abortion or gay same-sex marriages, if you hold those views and you say that that's wrong, they're going to say, number one, you're intolerant. Number two, you're closed-minded, okay? But the same, we do not do the same to other folks. We want you to have your freedoms. We just don't want you to force them down our throats. If the law of the land, if the law of the land says gay marriage is legal, I will hate it to my core. But I will fight for that person to have that right. That's the difference. I'm not going to try and force my beliefs on you.
But are you an
Period.
Exception to the Tea Partiers, or are you
no,
the norm?
No, this is I am the norm.
Mm.
Of course you got those wackos. Of course you got some wackos out there, but I am the norm.
Do you support the war?
Excuse me?
Do you support the war?
I support defeating terrorism by any means necessary.
See, you're the same as they are. You're Republican, just like they are. Just like I put in your chat room, Tea Party people just like donuts. One of them got chocolate on it and the other don't. You're still a donut.
Yeah, you know what? Hold on. We're going to leave your phone lines open. We're going to go to area code 602. Good afternoon and welcome to Center Stage.
Good afternoon. I just kind of got in the tail end of your discussion. But I just wanted to say regarding the shooting, I feel really bad that it happened. I really feel bad for the families that have been affected. But I just really, you know, someone made a comment about, you know, the poor people ended up taking the extremes of what other people are saying and actually going and killing people. I think that's a really ignorant statement to make because bottom line, because I'm going to tell you this, most of the political shootings that have happened have been people who are loners, who have no connection to anyone else, who we can't even really know what their backgrounds are.
They're poor, though.
They might be poor, but here is this. In thinking about and listening to some of the media reports, how this guy had, you know, dropped out of junior college and all this kind of stuff. One thing that was mentioned on the news report that someone had come out, I didn't hear this from myself, one of the bystanders stated this, that the guy that shot those people shot like he was a
marksman.
Thank you for helping me pronounce that, marksman. Okay, and I find that really interesting that this 22-year-old who dropped out of college and all this kind of stuff had this type of training. So it makes me wonder.
He might have been poor.
Women can do that.
Let her finish.
But who trained this guy to become, you know, that great of a shot to go out and to commit this type of crime? Okay.
Poor people don't. So that would almost indicate that he wasn't just a loner like they're telling us. I mean, so could it be some of what we're hearing is propaganda and that maybe he was?
You know what I believe? This is my belief. It doesn't make sense for this kid to, they make him sound like he's stupid in the media, but yet he's smart enough to pull this off.
Exactly.
And, you know, I just really believe it just doesn't add up. It doesn't add up to me. And I don't want people to get caught up in this and start allowing, you know, the national government to come in and say, well, we need these more stringent gun laws, and we need these more stringent laws to restrict people's free speech so that we won't have these type of incidents happening. Look what happened. This poor person doesn't have enough sense to, or who's mentally ill, doesn't have enough sense to really discern what's right and wrong, listens to this type of language, and goes out and commits these acts. I really do believe that, you know, he did not work alone. He may not have worked alone. I don't know. But it's not adding up. So
well, I think
really
it's strange, though, that if this person is the marksman that you're saying he is, why did he take so many rounds to do what he did? I mean, if
he was
walking away and he's
a
marksman,
shooting close range.
He not
why a
would
marksman?
He have shot so many other people if it was just about the congresswoman?
He was standing right in front of him.
Standing right in front of
her.
So why is that the case?
I don't, you know, I didn't hear that per se. This was someone had told me that it was
he standing right in front of him. He shot her from a foot away. That's not a marksman.
Well, okay, I'm going by what someone told me that was
well,
said in the news report. Okay, so all I'm saying is this, and they're making him sound like he's really a dumb kid that had all these, you know, the criminal background and mentally ill, but yet he can go and pull this whole thing off. And not only that, I mean, a federal judge got killed, and no one's even talked about, you know, who this guy was. And
yes,
you know,
we did.
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
We
all
talked
right,
about
well,
it.
I mean,
I had something to do with. Let's open up. Where's Carol? Carol, is that you at 817?
Oh, I'm here.
Carol, tell her who that judge was. Who was the judge that got
judge
shot?
Judge Rowe.
He was Rowe. And what was Rowe known for? Just recently making a ruling on what?
he made a ruling on against the Obama administration wanting to confiscate retirements and Americans' bank accounts in order to pay off the federal government's debt or whatever. See, they quietly have something. Anyway, this guy made a ruling against that Friday, I think just before he was killed or whatever day that was. And so that's the part he played in it. But
can
he played a part, man.
Can I ask you a quick question, Carol? Was that made known? Did you find that through the mainstream media? Is that something that you just knew yourself or kind of found out through other means?
I did some research on the internet.
She's a researcher.
Okay, yeah, you don't know that. Yeah, I mean, it's just like that kind of. There's like, yeah, in addition.
I don't know that as a fact, but I do know the government is not what you think. They always have. It's another motive. It looked like
he
was after the congressman, but it was deeper than that. I always think. It's problem, reaction, solution. They have something else in place they're trying to bring about. It's deeper than what they're reporting.
Yeah, and I also believe the fact that the director of the FBI is going down there to handle the situation. We'll never really find out the truth of what really happened. So
just remember when Kennedy was shot. They said Oswald was a lone gunman. You all remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, but he was a
big lie.
And
we have another lone gunman
that the FBI is
charged
with.
When Bobby
Kennedy
got killed, but then they said he was
alone, but he wasn't either. Okay, yeah, we're going to have to go back. Another big lie. Oh, we're going to go back to the phone lines. Thank you, caller, for that comment. Also, listen, I want to remind everybody, we're going to go into overtime, so you need to be on the phone lines at straight up 5 o'clock, or you won't be able to hear the rest of the conversation. So if you're listening via the Internet, call us up at 347-850-8390. Be on the phone lines by 5 o'clock, or you will not be able to hear the remainder of the conversation. Area code 313. Good afternoon, and welcome to Center Stage.
Good afternoon, 313. I had just wanted to say, as far as the situation that happened with the congresswoman yesterday, I feel that, like, as far as that was no surprise to me, just for the simple fact that it's been said that, you know, when you look afar, meaning if you look to another nation or to another place, that the things that go on within those places, you better believe that one day they're gonna be within your borders. You know, it says that. And any other church that, like, you know, when you see certain things going on in different places around the world, where that, I mean, that's nothing new for public figures or congressmen or whatever, public officials to be shot down like that in broad daylight. And you have to understand that one day you will see that within your border. So that was no surprise to me. But the situation, you know, it being, you know, the situation is part, people talking about the Hispanics and, you know, and especially the Mexicans and the El Salvadorans, you have to understand in 50 years, how many of these people will be within this country? I mean, so, like, you know, all this stuff, that, you know, the Tea Party and all this stuff, I mean, I really feel that, you know, as, you know, people, some people being Moors and Israelites and whatnot, you know, not indulging in the African-American thing, that, you know, what we're talking about, indulging in the politics of this land, it really doesn't matter, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like, with that situation and the situation that's happening now, I don't even see where we fit in with that, you know what I'm saying? Like, the situation of us, you know, is first and foremost, you know, dealing with the Tea Party and their madness and the Republican, Democrat, all that, in the courtroom and all that. I mean, I just don't see, where's the fair shaking at, you know what I'm saying? I mean, the stuff that's happening now, the stuff that America has been doing, going around and, playing, you know, bully and extorting people for destabilizing people's governments. I mean, it should be no doubt in anybody's mind that one day that will come here within these borders. I mean,
so you said the chickens are coming home to roost?
I mean, like what Malcolm said, you know, when Kennedy got shot, that's the situation. You know, and they play the same game. When Malcolm got, it was a thing where it was a long gun. I mean, any political figure gets hit, then the person is demonized and this and the third. But, you know, America can't deny the things that they're doing to the American public as far as when you look on TV. And
you can't tell a Republican that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, this is the madness of the mind. I just feel like, you know, the situation, it should surprise nobody, you know, because I think in the future, you know, especially within the next, you know, 10 to 15, no man knows, but in the 10 to 15 years of this team, that you're going to see certain stuff like that, because now that the resources are beginning to come down and you have now India, China, and different nations competing for them, and now we're going to have to go down in stature as a people, that you're going to have this type of predatory behavior come to pass. So, I mean, you know, people should just, you know, get ready, you know, the stuff that you see in other nations will be in your borders now, and prepare yourself, you know. So that's what I feel about that situation.
Well, thank you, caller.
Carrie.
Let me go back to the phone lines briefly, and then I'll come to you, Roy. Area code 936. Yeah. Good afternoon. Welcome to Center Stage.
Carrie, Mr. Barbecue.
Hey, Mr. Barbecue, how you doing?
Doing okay.
That's another fellow Blog Talk Radio host, y'all. what you think about the shooting, Bobby?
Well, you know, I'm going to put it this way. I really don't know too much about it at all. Mm-hmm. I've been so busy, I haven't had time to, you know, decipher it. I'll tell you one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't condone anybody killing anybody. It was somebody's mother, somebody's wife, somebody's daughter. And you don't have to do that. But Europeans have been doing it all their lives. They have. They've been doing it all their lives. And so,
you know, Roy Jones does not believe that there's going to be a revolution right here in this country. I happen to differ, too. I believe that there is going to be a revolution.
Well,
I
put it this way.
I think
you know what? I put it this way. I won't call no names. I don't you call any names.
Okay.
Somebody was on giving advice.
Yes.
He is a very, very wealthy human being.
Wow.
Now, you know when people say they have to liquidate?
Yes.
Baby, he would have to do a lot of liquidating.
Wow.
Yes, he would.
Wow.
Thank you, sir.
There are people that, you know, some people say they know everything. Other people, you know, people listen. People should study. That's what they should do. They should study. And I'm going to say this before I get off the phone.
Okay.
Words have meanings.
Yes.
Right. So meanings that they have given us over the years, look in the parentheses of what words mean.
Yes.
Because black is not a race. White is not a race.
Oh, right. Etymology.
Right. And so we as a people should know who we are. If we don't know who we are, we're not going to go anywhere. That's why so many of us are in jail, because we put down there that we are black, and they put down there that they are white. Those are not races. Right off the bat, the system don't recognize you because you don't recognize yourself.
Wow.
I talk to you at another time, sweetheart, here.
Thank
you,
Bobby.
What should we put, bro?
Huh?
What should we put?
We are Moors.
Okay.
We are Moors. Moors. M-O-O-R-S. That's our nationality. We are not black. We are not African Americans. See, because all of us did not come from Africa.
Africa.
Didn't come from Africa. I put it this way. If you were, I was in a shopping center in Houston week before last, and right off the bat, I knew these people were from the continent of Africa. They look different from us. All of us did not come from Africa.
Right.
And see, but we believe what they tell us. We didn't.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't come from Africa, so all of us could not have made it over here on a ship, and it had been profitable for them. See, they make you think it was, but it wasn't. Kira, I will get with you here.
Thank you, Bobby.
Love you, sweetheart.
Hey, this is Mahir.
Okay.
Can you hear me, Terry?
Hey, let me make an announcement. 1 second. If you're on the phone lines and you have a question or comment, press 1. But if you're listening via the Internet at straight up 5 o'clock, you will not be able to hear the rest of the show. So you need to get on the phone lines. Call us up at 347-850-8300 to listen to the remainder of the conversation. You're listening to Center Stage, and today's topic is the Arizona Congresswoman Gifford shooting. So that's what we're discussing, with that among a whole lot of other things. But that's the focus of today's conversation. Okay.
Harry, this is Mahir.
Mahir. Okay, go ahead.
Right. I actually was just listening, and the information that Sister Carol provided about what position, which shows to me, in my mind, the position that the judge had taken. You said, I believe she said, either that Friday he had made a ruling that which ruled against, which brings into, which seems to raise a major issue. We're not talking about a judge
who was shot and killed, and a congresswoman who was shot as well, and other people around them. We have, I think the issue, which is obvious, it's very obvious, is a bigger issue. Why would someone have someone shot? This is not about a poor, deranged guy, in my view right now, sitting in a room who's going to go after a judge because a judge ruled to continue to allow people to be robbed. Mm-hmm. And instead, he ruled against IRAs, 401Ks, and anything else, pension funds, if that's included, and I believe she said that as well, to be taken away. So there's a whole other motive all together over here. We're not talking about this action itself leads to, per se, a civil war in a whole other way. I'm sitting here looking at, okay, FBI is going to go investigate. Well, you know, they're paid to do whatever they do, okay, whatever that is. It's a job, J-O-B. But at the end of the day, they're not privy to what the true motives behind anything is. They're going out to do what they've been doing, the forensics and all of that, and interviewing people, witnesses, you know.
Damage control.
Obviously, yeah, obvious damage control, basically. But they may not know, and, you know, this is all part of protocol because they talk about this. There are those who are in the employ acting as agentors, mm-hmm. and they may or may not know that they are, but yet the system in which they are serving, okay, that they're sworn to uphold, they're looking at, okay, well, this is what we found. I'm still alarmed over the fact that Carol mentioned what this judge actually did. Mm-hmm. And what he did, in my view, was a good thing, protecting that the holdings, the finances of the people at large. And here it is, somebody wants to bump this guy off. Now, when, you know, some of them may say, well, maybe the congresswoman was the original target. We got to keep in mind, sometimes when they're going after the true target, everybody else is just collateral, is part of the collateral damage. So mm-hmm. people used to say loosely in street talk, this person was in the wrong place at the wrong time. No, there's no such thing as that. The bottom line is what, which Sister Carol brought out and illustrated, in my view, to my satisfaction, what the judge actually did. So it's like, wait a minute, we're not talking about this guy got upset and hot because somebody's trying to stick up the people and take some money and further rob the people blind. He was trying to put an end to that. So I would say what happened came from another source.
Wow. Let's go back to the phone line, y'all. Area code 860. Good afternoon. Welcome to Center Stage.
Hi. My name is Perry. I'm calling from Connecticut.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I just wanted to comment on what happened. I think society in general is they tend to ignore signs. We, you know, we live our life, we go about our lives, and we forget about the people who feel like, well, they've been left behind. I'm not saying what this guy did was right, but we're supposed to be a Christian society. And God has not forgotten the forgotten. And I think people need to realize just because you have forgotten people who may be mentally disturbed or less fortunate doesn't mean God has. And God looks at that and you know, he looks at that and he's going to return again to punish people for that. So I think society needs to learn what Jesus taught. He taught. He was for the lonely. He was for the people who were brokenhearted. And we live our lives again and again being arrogant and not caring, and this is what happens. Like I said, I'm not saying it's right, but, you know, how long are we going to tolerate shootings? How long are we going to tolerate it before we say, okay, we're going to start caring about people now? I mean, it shouldn't have to take a shooting to start caring. I mean, you know, and if it's going to continue, if the shootings are going to continue, if people are going to kill, I mean, the guy in Florida who shot, he was mentally disturbed because his wife lost his job, felt like no one cared about him, but then society just keeps going. It has to stop. Society has to change its mindset, or it's going to continue, which it has. I mean, shooting it has continued, and obviously people don't really care, but thank God that God cares.
Can I say something about that?
Yeah. What's that?
Is that we got liberal gun laws, you got the IRA, you know, people who advocate the ability of people carrying concealed weapons and do not restrict people, even if they have mental problems from getting guns. That gun that shot that congresswoman was a legal weapon, legally purchased.
Wow.
As long as we have guns and as long as we have laws to facilitate people acquiring weapons, there'll be no change.
Mm-hmm.
No, we need guns.
We need guns. We need them, but the thing about it, though, anybody can buy one. That's
going back to the phone lines, y'all.
He shouldn't have been able to buy one.
Right. Area code 214-275. Good afternoon. Welcome to Center Stage. Good afternoon.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, yeah, look at this. They keep talking up that he has mental illness. We don't really know that he did.
Right.
But you watch. They're going to come out with something and probably bring about more restrictions for people who supposedly have mental illness. Now, some of the veterans.
They can't be executed either. So he can't exonerate from his capital punishment.
Okay. Some of the soldiers is coming home. When they go to the Veterans Hospital, they're given a questionnaire about their, do you suffer from depression, this, that, or whatever. If they answer yes on anything that has to do with psychological issues or whatever, they flag them as a person that may possibly have mental problems.
True.
They can't go and buy a gun.
True.
So, as I said, look at problem, reaction, solution. They're going to come out with something from this. Our government uses violence on a regular basis to get what he wants.
True.
So just look, just observe.
True.
But does anybody have any idea
true.
What this could be? What could the bigger picture be about? I mean, any thoughts as to what the bigger picture could be about?
Sister Kara.
Yes, sir,
Second Amendment,
David.
Right? Sister Kara.
Yes, sir.
This is only the big picture behind this. You can see if you go through history where the same thing happens over and over, you have to realize that the people that you're dealing with, I just heard some Christians talking, the people that you're dealing with don't believe in any gods. That's the first thing that you got to realize. Your God, Jesus, he don't believe in him. Your God, Allah, he don't believe in. Your God, Buddha, Tao, Yin and Yang, Confucius, or whatever the 330,000 gods has been on earth, that you believe in, the people you're dealing with are the Luciferians. They do not believe in God. So how you feel about something ain't they feelings. This is what'll get you killed with them. They don't believe in what you believe in.
That's right.
That's the first thing they believe in Baal, though.
Now,
if
you are a Republican or if you're a Democrat, then you're going to side with the Democrat. They ain't neither one of them. And see, this is what you got to understand when you're tracing the history of the people that you're dealing with now. All of that stuff that you believe in, chunk that thought out the door so you can understand these people a little bit better than what you understand. Because long as you got your Christian values, your Muslim values, your Jewish values, and all of these values within these people that you're dealing with, which we call the elite now, which they done moved their name up to the elitists, they don't believe in mythology, and that's what the belief of God is with these people.
And all they do is use it to manipulate the masses. They manipulate the masses with the mythology. That's all they
do. So these are the people that you're dealing with. So these people are just like me. I don't believe in no gods. I know all the gods. I know God's teaching, all 330,000 of them, how they got started and what you believe in. You've been manipulated. Protocol number 4. Tell you, you've been manipulated with religion. So once you've been manipulated with religion, then that's it. They got you.
And black people were done like that during slavery. So they use the Bible to justify slavery.
That's it.
Well, let me ask a question. If Dr. Phil's statement be correct, the best indicator of future behavior is past behavior, what does history say is about to happen? And if we're going to follow and believe that quote by Dr. Phil, the best indicator of future behavior is past behavior, what are we to anticipate next?
A war, a civil war. You might as well get ready for it.
A class war.
And my best advice to anybody that looks like me
is mm-hmm. stay out of these white folks' business. You mm-hmm. always been able to survive. Stay out of their business. And you say you believe in the Bible. Well, there's some quotings in the book of Deuteronomy at the 28th chapter where it's your cursing and your blessings, where it tell you to go build your vineyard and do like the Amish people do in America. Have your own nation. And until you, the African-American, do that, then you will always be, which is what I could say, your white daddy, because you can only be an African-American. What makes you an African-American is when a African has had a baby by a white man that is an American. That's what makes
a
child an African-American.
Somebody said, can they make a statement? Who is that?
Yeah, that's Tea Party.
Okay, Tea Party, yes, sir.
I've kind of sat back and listened to the dialogue and just kind of took it all in. But the sad thing about this whole thing is this. You know, we talk about learning and we talk about understanding and watching out for white folks. When if we go back in our own history as a dark-skinned people off the African continent, okay, we can find that there are certain things that were within us, in us warring against each other, okay,
mm-hmm.
in us doing things that were unethical and ungodly, okay, such as conquering one another and selling each other to the quote-unquote white men, okay?
To each other.
The slave trade. The slave trade, would the slave trade have been as big as it was if the white man would have to have gone on the continent of Africa and fight a war in order to capture the African? I don't think so. I don't think so, because if the African continent was too vast and the nations were too strong, the slave trade perpetuated itself by Africans selling off other Africans.
Right, the Ashanti tribe. They were the first one that dealt in selling slaves. Oh, you're going to find the history of the Ashanti people. So you'll find the history of how the
But see, the thing about it is, we turned a blind eye to that and blamed the white man for everything.
Well, it wasn't me. And like I tell you, I
didn't
want to
industrialize it, though.
Hold on.
Commercialize it.
But listen. Let me ask you a question. Who is the blame? The person that sold the bum car or the bad car, or the person that resold it? If somebody sells a lemon to another person, that person knows he's got a lemon. And if you keep reselling, I mean, who is the person that's responsible? Who ultimately was responsible?
Sister Karen, let me get on that.
You miss a lot of history on this, though.
This is the person that actually did the dirty deed. In America, no one is supposed to be able to profit from a crime. Okay? We know this. It's a part of our law.
That's not true, bro.
That's not true.
Listen, America has always profited from crime.
The law states this. The law states this.
Yeah, let him finish his point.
If you commit a crime, you cannot profit from it. So, for instance, I buy a car from you. You sell me something that's stolen. The police come to me and say you bought a stolen item. They're going to take that from me. I just lost my money. Even though I bought it legitimately, I'm thinking I bought it legitimately from you, it's still a stolen item. It was done in the committee. It was committed. But see, now, here's the thing. We want to blame the white folks, and we say the American government. Dude, the American government did not even exist until 1787. And you're talking about slavery from 1689 to 1787 was not even something that the American government had as a part of it. You got to think about this.
Before that, there was the colonies.
I want you to think about it in this context now.
Then Cohan's got a comment, then we're going to go to you. Okay, at least y'all let him finish what he's saying. Okay, Colin, can you finish?
The bottom line is this. In order to rightly lay blame for anything that happened to the African American or the black man in America, mm-hmm. you've got to go back to the root. And if the root was, you were captured in Africa and sold by your neighbor, and brought here on a ship, then who should you be mad at?
Are you going to be the person?
How many black folks, you know, walking around with dashikis on?
Okay, go on. Hey, you were saying what?
Sister Karen.
Yes, sir.
That's the brother, Tea Party brother.
Yes, that's Tea Party Bet.
That he has not done a history on slavery, because when I wrote the book, The Other Side of Slavery, the Untold Story, black people were buying white slaves as far back as 1441 and pulled them out of Ireland, Scotland, and sell them all around the world. Not just black people. We had black and white slaves during that time. We had black and white slave owners in America, in the South. Antoine Boulogne, William Matthews, Ellis. The list goes on. Over two-thirds of the slaves were owned in the South. I have the documentation were owned by black people based on the Dixie Census records. Some of the richest folks in the South were black slave owners who were black people owned white slaves. Now, I don't know what your history went through, but we're not blaming white folks because the whole deal, we started the whole thing. It was all about commerce. That's all I got to say about that.
In 1829, in the state of South Carolina, or the colony of South Carolina, because it was a big place in. There were more slaves owned by black people than owned by white. Now, this is not something that I'm I got the documentation. I just go down to the library and pull it up. It's not something that I'm trying to skirt here. I know the history. What I'm saying is every time we get angry about something, we externalize that anger and project it on somebody that doesn't look like us. At what point in time do we start saying it's not their fault, it's our fault, we need to take responsibility, and if we need to put foot up some of these brothers' butts to get them straight, then that's what we need to do.
Yes, sir,
David.
Sister Karen.
Hey, hold on 1 second, y'all, because this is Cole Demeaney. I wanted to let y'all know I got to make it out of here, but I did want to make a comment in reference to what the brother just said with the Tea Party thing. I think if you check out some of the shows that we've had in the past, it's a combination of things. It's not just a combination of the situation that we're looking at just white people. We got our own problems internally as, you know, quote-unquote African-Americans. I don't really like using that word, but I'll use it for sake of argument. But the African-American community, we have a lot of problems internally. So what you're kind of coming into is a further discussion of previous discussions where we're kind of dealing with so many different issues to where maybe you're hearing one side of it. But trust me, I think, and I pretty much know everybody on the panel can vouch for me, we definitely know we got our own problems internally. So we've not only put the blame on them, but there's a lot of internal blame, which is going back to us learning how to do for self, learning who self is, and learning, I think Mahir and Kohan and several people keep mentioning, we need to know who we are. If the only information that you have is about some Africans getting sold and coming over here on a boat, I highly suggest you go back and listen to like the reparation show that we have or some of the older shows where you'll find out there's a lot more to quote unquote black people and African Americans than just getting sold and coming over here on some boat just we sold each other. There's more to the story. And with that being said, I do want to tell you thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you listening to the show. Carrie, appreciate you. Everybody on the panel, appreciate y'all. I gotta get out of here. But y'all have a blessed evening and I'll talk to y'all next
Peace,
time.
Bro.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, so David, you were trying to say.
Sister Karen.
Yes, sir.
The Continental Congress of the United States of America. Let's go into that history. Before it was the United States of America, it was the Continental Congress of the United States of America. The first president of that was a Moor. His name was John Hanson. A black Moor.
Wildly disputed.
He was a blue-black Moor. He was the first president. The president only spent one year. In that Continental Congress, they had four black presidents that they don't tell the history of this to the black children and tell them that Barack Obama was the first black man ever become the president of the United States when there's been eight before him. That was mulatto, just like him. He's not a black man. He's mixed. You call it what it is. He's a half-breed. That's what they called him a long time ago. Mulatto, Arc-Drone, Quadrone, Must-T, either one of those was the slave names given to you according to the bloodline that you have in, and I can recite that history to you.
And they're the original house.
So what has been going on and what has been told us, it is our job. When me and Cohane got babies, grandbabies and stuff, we teach them. We know what they're learning in the school system. It's left up to the person to teach your own child, because what I teach my child how to hunt, how to plant, how to fish, how to shoot. All of my, I got 9 grandboys. They all experts in all weapons.
Whoa.
Because I am a full-blooded Coushatta that had mama was a Cherokee, but I got more Coushatta in me than Cherokee. And what you don't understand is that it was black folks lived over here in the Western Hemisphere, and half of you people that holler you African-Americans, you came from the indigenous people here who got named Indians. Christopher Columbus was lost when he called us Indians, when he called the Nez Perce, the Moors, the Washita, these are black tribes. These are black people that was over here. The oldest history that you can run is 250 million years of the Twa people, which is in Africa. That's when you start with African history over there, it's 250 million years. Well, the Twa people, who is the Pygmy, came from the Western Hemisphere and went to the Eastern Hemisphere.
Everything started in the Western Hemisphere,
not the Eastern Hemisphere. The white man who give you your history and teach you your education, he gave you the history that he knew over there in the East. He ain't know nothing about the history in the West. He just now finding it out. The pyramids that's over here in the West is older than any pyramid that Egyptian put together. An Egyptian is a half-breed that is mixed with the Hittite and the Cushites and the Hamite race of people during that time, and that's the reason the history got all tangled up. But there's some people right now that's
I think somebody's trying to ask you a question.
That know the history. And see, I can sit here and recite the history for hours and hours. Cohen can tell you that. And Cohen can recite the history out of that Bible for hours and hours.
What was your question, Perry? You have to first know who you are.
My question to the what's his name speaking?
David.
Dwyer.
My question to you is, why are black people so induced to not believing that we were mixed with Indians? You know, when I talk to people,
you've been genocided.
I talk to a lot of people here in Memphis, and I told them that a lot of us are part Indian, but they don't understand where I'm coming from. They said, we're not part Indian. We have an Indian heritage as well. But it's so hard to make them believe it, though.
This is Mahir.
I specialize in what is referred to as the pre-modern-day European history. I'm a so-called Cherokee, okay? And I can tell you this, okay? The way the Europeans came here, first of all, 100 million people were not taken off no continent of Africa and enslaved. Africa, according to demographics, from what the Europeans so-called best had, because, you know, Africans weren't really keeping records and how large their tribes and things were in that way, not the same way they do it today with a census, but they first of all, didn't have enough ships numerically, and you could not be shipping slaves 12 months out of the year on the sea.
Right.
Because, you know, there are storms in the sea and as such. And the number of ships, if you look at the companies in Europe that were involved in transporting slaves, okay, just as many slaves were sold out of here to other parts of the world. They were sold to the Arabs. They were sold to the Byzantines. They were sold to other places. The Romans had two forms of government, one over there, and they had one over here. The Romans were the one who actually created this thing called the Corn Law, because certain times out of the year, they knew that they should not have ships on the sea. It wasn't safe. It wasn't a smart thing. But they were buying corn, cucumbers, onions, all these different kinds of things they were buying from here. Now, Europeans always wrote, basically, before 1832, that there were two types of aboriginal indigenous people already here. They called the Asiatic indigenous. That's the ones that you say are the American Indians with the straight hair.
I'm wrapping it up.
And then they had the Negroids.
The Negroid, Aboriginal, Indigenous were already here. You got people here descended of Egyptians. I'm still a member of a warrior society back east, and I can tell you for a fact that the Montauk Indians, Montauk, Long Island, Montauk Point, Long Island, their last name is still Pharaoh. It has nothing to do with any Europeans giving them that name, and they look black like me and you, woolly hair, the whole package. And they will tell you they were already here. Montauk, coming from the Egyptian word itself, Montawa. So these are things here that we knew. Now, congressional records say 80% of the people of color were already here. We got caught into this corporate way of enslavement, i.e., the Negro Act being passed in 1791 in South Carolina, and then right on the hill because the Moors protested. They passed on the heels of the Negro Act in 1791, the Moore-Sonsy Act, same place. So he went already here in place. I'm sorry, go ahead, Carol.
Okay, Carol wants to add something. Carol, you want to jump
in? Yeah, I'm going to bring pull us back to the, is it going to be a civil war in America?
Yes.
Have 43 million people who own food stamps, unemployment 50 to 20% high, it's not 5% like the government says. You have people who've been unemployed for 27 months straight. Some of the 99ers or whatever they call them who are not on unemployment anymore, they've dropped them.
Right.
When you have millions of foreclosures, people losing their houses, you have a lot of people who are now homeless who never had been. When people have lost everything and they have nothing else to lose, they are going to go out and they are going to do something.
Wow.
And when you've lost
disobedience.
Yes, when you have lost everything, you have nothing else to lose. So you're going to be out there. It's going to be some problems. Also, I listen to people who represent the KKK. I used to listen to the Hal Turner show. I listen to Rush. You need to listen to everybody. You need
right.
to listen to some TV. You need to find out what your enemies out there are talking about.
Thank God for the
internet. First of all, I was listening to one webcast, and this guy get newsletters from. He has black people call his webcast too, and he gives them information. A white guy. Well, one day I was listening to him, and he said this. He said, "All you black people out there that's listening, it's getting ready to be a war." Now he's white talking, and when we get ready to have this war, y'all just step aside, because this ain't your war. You remember the North and the South that fought?
Right, right, right.
I'm just saying this to you right now. The North and the South, that was two different factions. You're going to have two different factions of a group of white people. They're going to go to war. And I just wanted to tell you all that. That's what he said, and he's telling the truth. So prepare yourself, step aside, and watch the show.
Well, right, you're right, and they're going. And the Mexicans are going to be in the middle of it too.
Yeah,
who
going to
be in the middle?
The Mexicans too. Oh no, no! Yeah. Like that lady just said, we just step aside because see, these Mexicans have invaded the United States. It's called the Brown Revenge.
Ooh.
The Brown Revenge, and you're going to see it's probably going to pop up in Arizona first.
Mm.
You're going to see the Brown Revenge get its reckoning. We should not be like that. We're all Americans. You can let them come over here and everything. The common response to that is let them stay in your house. See how you feel. Let them eat your food. Sleep under your roof. It's requirements. It's categorical requirements for occupancy of any territory. If you don't meet those categorical requirements for occupancy, you are in violation. This ain't everybody's land.
Wow. Yes, sir, David.
This land was took from who you call the Mexicans, and the Mexicans going to take back everything that
Brown Revenge
taken from them. They already done took back. If you know what was
ain't
taken
fired
from
a
them,
shot.
They
ain't
got
fired
already
a shot.
Back what was taken from them.
They
and
ain't
so,
fired a shot.
And far as blacks going to be there, blacks going to say, Master is... The Democrats, who is the plebeians, and the Helocs, who is the Republicans, they're going to all say, Master, is we going to fight? And they say, yeah, we're going to fight. They're going to say, yeah, Master, we fighting with Master. So you got that same sense that you had in the North.
The same way we fought the Germans. The same way we fought the Germans.
You got the same Democrats and them Republicans that's out there that's black, they feel just like, see, you're born with a brain, Carol.
Yeah.
A mind is a school of thoughts. And once you have been taught by your oppressor, which everybody in the United States have been taught by us. So when you went to the first grade at 6 years old, your school system was already put intact. But when you got your summa cum laude and magna cum laude and cum laude, you didn't check out what school of thoughts that you had been put you on. You just said, old master school of thoughts was the right one. So this is where the problem lies. Were you educated right from the first grade, the language that you speak? What is said about this? And always use ethnology. Ethnology is the study of the origin of the word. See, when we do our study, we study who, what, when, how, why, and where it come from using ethnology. When you study like that, you cannot be led wrong.
Okay.
Yeah, that's like every idea has to have a patent. If you don't have a patent on your idea, then it means it can be taken.
This is true.
These schools of thoughts didn't get here when we got here. These schools of thoughts been here for years and years and years.
Generations.
So what is the school of thought? How many governments is it? It is 10 different governments. What is the oldest government? The caste system is the oldest government. Well, if you know what the caste system is, when they freed you off of the plantation in 1870, black people was put up under the caste system. Within this government system. What is the caste system? Nobody knows.
So they still got it in India.
This is when you study history and fanatical history like I am, then you learn all of this stuff. And I share it with other people, but I don't try to make nobody, I tell anybody, don't believe nothing I say, go do the research.
Okay, you know what? They're going to cut us out of here in a minute. So listen, everybody, we're going to give you final comments about the shooting. We'll start with Kohan. Any final thoughts, Kohan, about the shooting? Kohan Yashabaya. Okay, Kohan, something must have happened to his phone system. We'll move on. Mohair, final thoughts. Kohan, final thoughts about the shooting.
The family shot is going deeper than what we think, and it's an illusion. A wise man recognizes that the world is built on illusion, does not act if it's real, so we escape the suffering. So don't get caught up in the hype. Don't believe the hype. Look a little deeper because it's deeper than what we think.
Okay. Mohair, final thoughts on the shooting.
Yes. Unfortunately, there's going to be a lot more of that. And mind you, we're not even talking about the judge having done anything bad. We're talking about the judge seemingly looks like he's done something good. And unfortunately, that's going to be a message to anyone that's involved in organized resistance to what is taking place and banding together to seemingly stop it. So that is to instill fear. It's a fear tactic.
Wow. Vietnam vet, I'm sorry, Tea Party vet, any final thoughts on the shooting?
Yeah. The thing about it is, I'll say this, just sit back and let them do their investigation because we make assumptions about certain things. For the longest time, everyone assumed that the D.C. sniper was a white man, middle class guy who was just mad at the world, and he turned out, you know, that wasn't the case, and that was not the demographic. So we need to figure out and just sit back and be patient. We can speculate all we want to, but do not pass judgment because we don't know what the bottom line was with this guy.
Wow. Perry Steele, final thoughts on the shooting.
Yes, ma'am. Please, I know some people might have differences in their belief in God, but whatever you believe in, please pray for the victims and please pray for this congresswoman to come back on this side with minimal disabilities because, like I said, that lady has suffered, her family has suffered, and a lot of people have suffered. All I want y'all to do is just please pray for these folks. That's all.
Okay, Carol, final thought on the shooting.
I feel this is just the beginning. You're going to see some more of this because the American people are expecting to see a change with these new Congress people or politicians. Mm. And if they don't come in and change some things, you're just seeing the beginning because it's going to be some more of them. Same thing is going to happen to them. Mm-hmm. Just sit back and watch.
Wow.
That's all you got.
David DeWop, final thoughts on the shooting.
Well, I'm going to sit back and watch the drama. I already got stuff
what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, if you've ever been into my class. And what we do is just sit back and wait till it happens, and then we mark it out just like they do in the protocol. We call it the funeral rituals. You know, we just mark it out. We done had the funeral on this one. This has done happened. This has done happened. All I do is take the protocol and check off what is happening in it. That's what I do. I sit back and do that and watch. And if all you Christians out there believe in the Bible, if you go to the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel, I think he told you to be a watchman. So read in there the 33rd chapter of what a watchman's duty is. So be a watchman. And like I said, I don't believe in no gods, and I don't know gods. And ask yourself, when you pray, is your prayers being answered? Tell me one prayer that's being answered. And in your Bible, it tells you that if it come a time where your Lord and God, Jesus Christ, will say, "Part ye workers of iniquity," you don't think that's your ain't your time? Jesus done already told you a whole lot of things to the people that done followed him. I want to know, how did you escape?
Wow.
Well, yeah.
And if
well,
you don't know what he
victim,
said,
though, please.
You're talking to
let
somebody
know
what he said.
Let not
how did you escape what he said?
All this intelligence, but still, human compassion still outrules everything. Let's not forget the victims.
Wow. Okay, that'll have to be the final word. I'd like to say thank you to my guest today, David Wyatt, Kohan Yashabaya, Moher L., Roy Jones, and Mr. Fontayez. Also, we'd like to remind you that the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Center Stage or our host. On behalf of Kundalini and myself, we'd like to say thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.